The Fan.
Listen up. The ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper, gang. Yeah. Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes, boy.
That is good news.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
A little bit of fantastic.
I'm a big fan of Johnson's.
We always want to come out and know how you're doing. We always come out, first thing an entertainer, comedian always says, hey, by a round of applause, how do you feel? We always want to know. It's like how we judge how people feel. It's the only place where you judge how somebody feels by a round of applause. There's never like an accident, people lying on the streets, you're running around, ma'am, by a round of applause, how do you feel? Doctor, I know my mother is sick. But by a round of applause, how does she feel? I was in a little accident, right? Get a little accident, so now I'm cabbing it, gotta take cabs everywhere. Here's a little quick thing right here. Here's when you know you're officially drunk. When you get into a taxi cab and you think the fare is the time. Oh my God, it's 15 past 14 already. Whoa, it's 22 past 25. Will we go through a wormhole?
See, I grew up in a poor neighborhood in China, and the middle school that I went to 1 year decided to pave the dirt roads with bricks of cement. And the students were required to bring bricks to school, and we worked really hard for 3 weeks. And finally, we built a road. And years later, I heard about the term child labor. I was like, what? Those kids got paid? I got a D minus. But I read that younger kids nowadays can't even read the analog watches anymore. They can only read the digital ones. I was like, how are they gonna report the locations of hot chicks in the future? So my son is 4 years old now, but he still has a lot of growing up to do. When I was a kid, I built a road.
Yep, you guessed it. That means it's just me and Zach for now, because hockey is gone for a very good reason. His grandmother passed away, so he is in Indiana or slash Ohio. It's one of the two, for the funeral of his grandmother, his dad's mom. And Corey is in the Wisconsin Dells until tomorrow. Corey and I will be back tomorrow. Hockey will be in Buffalo for the game, but because he's the greatest human being of all time, other than you, Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm glad you're here.
I'm good. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. When I got here this morning and I'm like, man, I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying this. Nobody's listening that needs to know this, and I'm not doing the, oh, look at me and how prepared I am. I've never worked this hard in my entire life than I did last night.
Really?
I'm not kidding you. We'll bring the greatest human being of all time into the conversation, Kevin McDermott. Kevin, how are you?
Morning, boys.
How are you, man?
I'm really good.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks. You're a ray of sunshine, man.
Hey, 5:30 in the morning. What's not to be happy about?
Yeah, but, you know, with your recent, what happened to you about a week ago, man, you're an absolute inspiration, because obviously the second I lose this job, it's over. My attitude is bad enough. When they tell me I can no longer be here, man, when you, that smile, every, when you walk around here, man, I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you how well you take everything, and you just go, it's life.
Appreciate it, Sauce.
But like last night's a perfect example, man. We had, Barrero had Alan Page on last night. I don't know if you heard it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure, obviously, you've heard Alan Page speak.
He is a genius.
Man! When I first heard it, I'm like, the first time I ever heard him, I'm like, who is this guy? I didn't know who he was. I didn't grow up watching old Vikings football. I had no idea. dude, that guy should be the most celebrated guy in the state of Minnesota. He's a former Supreme Court justice who went to Notre Dame, and he's the last NFL defensive MVP.
So my first training camp with the Vikings in Mankato, he came and spoke to the team. And they're, you know, normally when someone gets up to talk before the team, they, you know, say a few things that the person has accomplished in their life. And they had to go on for like 8 minutes talking about all that he had accomplished because he had done so much.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know his exact age, but he's getting up there.
I think he's got to be in his 70s.
Yeah. And dude could do an Ironman right now.
Yeah.
Like he is still running all the time, just super athletic. Even to this day, it's a pretty impressive thing to see.
I just loved how every time they spoke to him last night, were you here for it, Zach?
No, I was not.
But did you listen to it at all?
I haven't caught it yet.
You should listen to it, man. Barrero has him on every year, I think mostly at the fair, but I think he's been in studio. But it's more to what I was saying about you, Kevin. His reaction, and Barrero is the best interviewer in this state, of how, and he's just brilliant of how good he is at interviewing people. You know, he's there to ask him sometimes tough questions. He asks him about politics, and I don't think that, you know, I would assume that Mr. Alan Page is on one side of things and people are on the other side of things. But his response to everything is so well thought out. And it's not just, hey, you know, how it's not cliche that you get from a lot of people. And you get a lot of, you know, pomp and circumstance from a lot of people. Man, what he said the other day about... when he was talking about basically the presidency, and he's like, we can't, when you build this on lies and all this, and it was just, I mean, no matter the way you look at it, the way he said it was perfect. And when they asked him, the last question he asked him was about his late wife. Holy smokes, dude.
I'm sure he had unbelievable perspective.
Well, and he even said, dude, the last thing he said is he basically said, she was the love of my life. And how he was talking about when they went to Chicago and with kind of with you, and he's like, hey, it's just life.
Right.
Like, it's the way it goes. And there are a lot of people getting up today going, man, I don't want to go to this. I don't want to do that. You know, I got to move jobs. I got to do this. And just the simple thought of him saying, hey, it's life. It's just the way that it goes. And he's like, we almost stayed in Chicago, but my wife wanted to come back because she's from here. It's one of the best interviews I've heard in a long time. And Alan Page is perfection when it comes to everything. He's a model citizen. Everything he does is great, dude.
Minnesota,
I love
treasure.
That guy. Yeah, I love that guy, man. I know, he went to Notre Dame. He was a defensive MVP. He's sweet, dude. I love everything about that dude.
You know, he has a tradition where he stands on the side of the Twin Cities Marathon every year.
No.
And plays his tuba to, like, cheer on the runners as they go through the race.
Really?
Yeah, like... That's the type of guy he is.
Yeah.
That's just like, that's Alan Page.
I had no, I mean, I'd heard him before and I'd been out there with him. And I, you know, when he's out there, I mean, that's when the autograph seekers come out. And I didn't realize until I really got to not know him because I don't know him, but when I really listened to Barrero and all that, when he interviewed him, he's an extremely accomplished human being. He didn't have to go be a Supreme Court justice. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, they didn't make the money, but the appearances and all that, he could have done anything. Man, the work he's put into it, if you aren't familiar, if you're my age or younger, if you're Zach's age, do yourself a favor and look up and kind of research Alan Page. Like Hockey talked about on the podcast a lot lately about, you know, getting to know your grandparents and asking your grandparents about their grandparents or your parents about their grandparents. And he always says, he's like, when those stories go, when they go, those stories go.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a free minute or at lunch today, do yourself a favor and listen back to Barrero's interview with Alan Page and then do a little bit of research on him. He's an extremely interesting man. But basically, that's a long way of me saying that I see a lot of you when it comes to him because it's just your attitude about everything, man. I dig it. I really do.
I appreciate that. I mean, Alan Page has accomplished a hell of a lot more in his life than I have at this point, but
yeah.
You know, I appreciate the sentiment.
And I think about it too, man. And if it were roles reversed, let's say you sat here and I played for the Vikings and I had gotten cut. If you came down to get me, my head had been down. I would have just been devastated. I mean, you're an inspiration, man.
Well, Listen, it's always difficult to go through stuff like
that. Of course,
that,
yeah.
It is entirely just part of the business.
Yeah.
Right? This is the fourth time in my life I've gotten cut.
Yeah.
It just goes along with the territory of playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And once you accept that, it makes it a lot easier to play on the field without fear and then able to bounce back when it does happen.
We were all cheering for you.
I appreciate it.
We were all hoping that you'd be here, and but we're not, you know, we're not going to dwell on everything about
that. I'm not
that.
Dead.
Yeah, that's and that's, I think, what a lot of people think is when these guys are no longer on the team, they're gone. They're just, they cease to exist. I think a lot of people forget that. The Minnesota Twins won 3-1 over the awful White Sox, but of course the Indians crushed 10-1, so the Twins lead remains at 3.5. We will have Bonus and Gleeman and Rosen, I think, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Mark Parrish will be here, I think, at 7. I'm pretty positive. But other than that, it's just the three of us till 7. So we're just going to, you know, talk about whatever and get after a lot of things. There's a lot of interesting things that happened last night in sports. You know, the Twins, this Jadeveon Clowney thing possibly being traded. The one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Kevin, we can get into this a little later as well, is this Carly Lloyd story.
I've been following it.
She kicked a 55-yard field goal at an Eagles-Ravens practice the other day. 55 yards.
She crushed it.
She crushed it. And the video went super viral.
Right. It went through not just regular NFL regulation posts, but what are called skinny posts, which are thinner width. And, you know, kickers practice on them because if you can make it on that, then going out and seeing the bigger post during the game just is a mental edge, I guess. So, you know, 55 on skinnies, you know, having never played football before.
Yeah, so, of course, immediately in today's world, when something like that happens and it goes viral, everybody just is going, well, this is her next thing. She's going to be able to do it. Now, as somebody points out, she took a five-step, like basically is like a side kick, whatever that's called in soccer, a free kick.
Yeah, she ran to it like a free kick or a penalty kick.
But still, 55 yards is a long way. Now, there are a couple of NFL offers for her to play. A lot of people suggested that maybe she get a chance tomorrow in all these final preseason games. But she, of course, came back and said, you know, I've had discussions with my husband and all this, but I don't want to just do it to do it. I want to do it and know that I'm taking it seriously. And I assume there are teams that just want her, and as you said, and we talked about, is just a gimmick to play in a fourth preseason game, draw a little interest. I think it would maybe, you know, it would make a fourth preseason game interesting, which a lot of them aren't. But she took the other route, and she's like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And she couldn't do, what was it they wanted her to do, but like the team she was on played. So she couldn't do it like last weekend.
Yeah, and I think they play in the women's national team plays in Portugal tomorrow.
Yeah,
so she had a previous engagement that prevented her from doing the gimmick.
Yeah, but,
of tomorrow. But I think she's going about it the right way. Right?
Yeah,
she is obviously talented enough to do it. And like you said, she's taking a soccer approach to kicking these field goals in terms of a run up. If she takes, you know, 3 or 4 months. Trains with someone, understands the I guess intricacies of the field goal operation and just reps it over and over, I think she could have a good shot next year.
So you think she could do it?
I don't know if she could do it for an entire NFL season.
But why is that?
Well, I mean, she's picking something up for the first time in her life. I'm not saying that she's not qualified because she's a international she's obviously been very successful on the international soccer stage. But like you see that Harry Kane guy who plays in the English Premier League.
Yeah, he really wants
to. He wants to do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you see people who pick up new sports, if they're extremely athletic, they make it look much easier than if, you know, you or I picked up, like, you know, Olympic swimming.
Yeah, like Parrish. Parrish could do just about anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you can do it consistently over and sustain it over a long period of time. Because the kickers who have been doing it in the NFL, they've been doing it since, you know, high school.
Well, that's the thing, too, is it's not, and this isn't, you know, me saying that I would assume she could do it with the training. And as we talked about off the air, she has the means to do it.
Yeah.
And she's got the money. She's got the off season. She knows as an athlete how to train as an athlete. I think the other thing, too, though, is everybody, you know, she's very athletic. She's on TV right now. Field goal kickers, in high, when you have soccer kickers in high school do it because it's, you know, you're kicking 30-yard field goals. It would be very interesting if she said tomorrow or whenever, I'm going to, after my soccer career is over or the season's over, I'm going to hire a kicking coach and I'm going to do this. It would be super interesting, one, to see what team, because it's easy to say, well, yeah, we'll take you in a game that doesn't matter. It would be interesting to see if she said, yeah, I'll do it. Give me 1 year to today when you guys start OTAs, mini camps, or whatever, I'll do it. It'd be interesting to see if a team picked her up.
I think someone would.
Right.
I mean, just the publicity alone of having the first woman play in the NFL. I think that'd be the first woman who's played in the NFL.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I mean, and yeah. It wouldn't be a gimmick because she would have a whole off season to train and get ready for the season. And she's obviously got the physical tools to do it. So I'm going to follow it closely.
Yeah, same. It would be cool.
It'd be so cool.
Right. And I mean, you played on a team that's had a couple of kicking problems. They basically, kickers have become quarterbacks now. I mean, people look at them like they're quarterbacks. Like, this, you don't. There's way less wiggle room now for kickers than there ever was. Maybe that's because, you know, us as Minnesota Vikings fans, after two games last year, your teammate was cut. And we see it where it's like every miss we're going, well, that's it. It's over for this guy. Kickers and quarterbacks, and maybe it's just in this market, are just as scrutinized, it seems. But, you know, I don't know. You watch it and you go, well, wait a minute. If he makes this, is he going to be on the team tomorrow? I mean, Vedvik missed two kicks on Saturday, and we're going, well, now what? Why did they waste a fifth-round pick on him? I think Minnesota is so sensitive when it comes to their kickers that we just, you know, you just kind of get rattled about it. I wonder what other markets would think. I wonder who would pick her up, what it would be like, and it'd be really cool to see her in the NFL kick field goals.
It would be great. I think she should do it.
And Keenan Allen tweeted yesterday that it's all funny until the punt or kick gets blocked and she's on offense.
I don't see that happening.
Well, and
how many kicks get blocked in a given career of someone that they're like actually making a tackle?
And how many times does a field goal get blocked and it's? I mean, you've been in plenty. Not that you've been in plenty where they didn't block, but you've seen it. It goes right. It goes left. It goes over the head. It's not a scrum. It just goes one way or somebody catches it and runs with it. It's just, you know,
listen,
sometimes.
Sebastian Janikowski kicked in the NFL for 19 years.
Yeah.
And Carly Lloyd could literally run for 4 hours straight.
Right. Carly Lloyd
is an athlete.
Could outrun about everybody on special teams. No offense to you.
No question.
When we come back, we'll get to the Twins and their victory. What happened with the Indians? We got a ton of sports going on. We got an update on Cam Newton when it comes to week one. A wide receiver in the NFL got hurt, a possible blockbuster trade that could happen, and for us Minnesota fans, somebody in the Twins organization took a step back and it doesn't seem good. We'll talk about all that when we come back. It is the Power Trip Morning Show. Meat Sauce, Zach, Kevin McDermott until 9 a.m. right here on The Fan. Father told me.
The Fan.
Register for your shot to win Premier Boxing Champions tickets to see boxing at the Armory on August 31st. Go to KFAN.com. Keyword contest to enter.
Trip Morning Show, Wednesday, August 28th. We have a couple days left in August, and all of a sudden, it is September. We have actual pro football a week from tomorrow. Packers at Bears. The Bears are a 3-point favorite, so that is less than a week away. Every single preseason game is tomorrow, the last one, thank God. And then, of course, we have Golden Gopher football against South Dakota State tomorrow. at TCF Bank Stadium. It'll be a great atmosphere. Hopefully that place sells out. Those kids deserve it. They are 12.5-point favorites. Of course, go down to Tommy's tailgates beforehand. I'm sure he'll rant and rave about it tomorrow, and he'll be super jacked up tomorrow because the Gophers open the season. Zach Halverson is here. Kevin McDermott is here. If you're wondering where are the rest of them, well, Chris Hockey is at his grandmother's funeral, and Corey Cove is in the Dells, so it's just Zach and I. And I talked with Zach a little bit about this before the show. My biggest fear is around 8 o'clock, Abbott walks in and goes, hey, just go to the fair. PA's ready to go.
Are you actually afraid of that?
Dude, there's... Well, no, not... No, but it's just my... You sat here with me yesterday, dude. When I found out the... there's a lot of good things I'm really good at. I also have a lot of weird tics and weird things that go on with me. When I found out, and this is no offense to you, it wouldn't matter who was sitting there. When I found out it was just going to be you and I for the most part, my anxiety started about 8:05 yesterday, and it stopped about an hour ago.
When you found out I was coming on.
Yeah, well, that, and then we got Rosie, and I'm not this Yeardley Smith or of the Simpsons lady that was going to come on and promote a charity, which I'm sure was a great cause. I would love to talk to her because my brother and I are giant Simpsons fans. I was going to have my brother write all these Simpsons questions. The minor bit of relief when she canceled that came over me yesterday was unbelievable. Not because I didn't want to talk to her. I just would... I'd panic without Corey or Hockey here to lead the ship. I have to lead the ship now. So God knows how many Titanic-like icebergs we're going to hit on the way to 9 o'clock. But I guarantee you all four of us, including Haley, will survive. Now, once Rosie gets here, God knows what'll happen.
Can I be like the guys with the violins playing?
Yeah, once
music
the that's Abbott. Abbott is the violin guys coming in, going, "Well, just go to the fair. PA and Nordo could take it from here."
Yeah, I'll try to find a door to stay alive on.
Yeah, you be the first one out. If you hear or see of Abbott coming down the hallway to can us at 8 o'clock, let me know because I'll just run out, and that's going to be my time that I know that I've gone too far. But we got a lot to talk about, man. There's a lot in sports. There's a lot in everything. Kevin, Haley, Zach, comment as you'd like. We'll just fire through this, and then we'll get to some other fun stuff. And I can't wait. There's a story I want to get to in about 40 minutes about how Kobe says Shaq absolutely meets Austin. I think it's an extremely interesting story. We'll get to that later. The Minnesota Twins won 3-1 over the awful White Sox. Pineda went 5, giving up one run. He scattered 4 hits, and he struck out 8. The bullpen of Dyson, Duffy, Romo, and Rogers scattered 2 hits, and they struck out 5 and gave up no runs in 4 innings. Now, I 100% get it. It's a bullpen against the White Sox, but that's why you make those moves, to get guys that can win you games when your pitcher can't go more than 6 or 7 innings. And that's what that bullpen did last night. But the bad news is the Indians won 10-1 over the Tigers, who I think would be beat by the Louisiana team that won the Little League World Series. The lead remains at 3.5. The Twins will send Odorizzi to the mound looking for his 14th win tonight. And the White Sox will counter with Ross Dittweiler. That sounds like it's made up. At 7:10, the Indians and Tigers play at 6:10. Zach Halverson, did you watch any of that, or are you too busy planning Helby Fest?
I got home. Thank you very much for the shout-out, by the way.
Which, I'm not going to lie to you. Uh-huh. When I found out you went, this is how little I pay attention. Like, my not paying attention has cost me so much money in the last couple days, and every time it costs me money or time, I go, damn it, Corey's right. When you tweeted that thing about Helvey Fest, I'm like, is he really going out last night at 9 o'clock? I need him. Not hungover. I need him at 5 in the morning.
Right.
I was so glad it wasn't last night.
No. Saturday, August 31st.
What is it?
Helvey Fest 2019.
Who started this? You?
Yeah.
This self-proclaimed festival?
Yeah. You know, I tried to do it back in after my freshman year of high school. Last day of school, I tried to do Helvey Fest. Had a musical act booked. Everything was great. It rained. So this is 10 years in the making.
Who was the musical act?
I don't know, some guy named Victor from my school.
What the hell? You're rented. Making this up.
I'm not kidding.
What does Victor play?
The piano. And he had some like video on YouTube, not like go semi-viral. So I was like, I booked him for the music. We were going to have a big, huge thing down at Cup and Cone in White Bear. It got canceled because it just poured all day.
And you're going to play the I Hate My Father music?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I, and now I'm just going on a glorified bar crawl and calling it Halvey Fest. But it's going to be fun.
When does it start?
9 o'clock, downtown White Bear, American Legion. This Saturday, Labor Day weekend. Come out, have some fun.
How much? Is it free?
It's free.
Is there a vibe? You should do it as a vibe coming back from one of these breaks.
Are there t-shirts? Can I get a t-shirt?
Yeah, but t-shirt.
We'll see. I mean, if it gets, if we get good traction here, now, can only go up from here.
A week ago, you filled in for me, and of course, all I got for 3 days is how Zach Halverson's going to replace me, and I would be glad if you did, although give me a year or two so I can at least pay a mortgage payment or two. You will know whose side when it comes to Halvey versus Meat Sauce hockey's on if he shows up. If he shows up, it's over for me.
I really hope he doesn't. He needs a weekend off.
I hope he does, though. How great would it be if hockey showed up?
I mean, it'd be amazing. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
I just, for his health in the week, the next few days that he is going to be, we got a show in Moorhead on Friday.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Buffalo Thursday night.
Dayton, Ohio right now?
Yes. He's in Dayton, right now. So he's going to be Dayton, Buffalo, here on Friday morning, because God forbid he misses a show.
Yeah, well, we need him Friday.
All right, and then Friday night he'll be in Moorhead.
Yeah, and then...
Thank God.
We have Monday off.
Yeah. So I hope he takes 3 days and just sits there by himself in silence.
Yeah.
And
he won't
relax.
I don't think he can.
No.
I don't think he can.
Or he'll be there on... in downtown White Bear for Halvey Fest 2019.
Let's hope he shows up for Halvey Fest.
Yes.
According to Dan Hayes of The Athletic, Byron Buxton had a setback. He felt something in his left shoulder on Sunday during batting practice. He had an MRI yesterday, and it was clear of structural damage, but his rehab is halted. He's down with the team in Chicago. Kevin McDermott, you've had a shoulder injury, right?
Yep.
What is something that you would do in sports with Byron? Would it simply just be swinging the bat for the first time?
It could be anything.
Right.
From he swung the bat to he was doing a rehab workout and it just like seized up on him to, you know, he dislocated it doing the dishwasher, right?
Yeah.
It's just crazy stuff happens, and especially when you're coming back from an injury.
So as Twins fans and all of us want him back, and we'll talk to Gleam and Bonus and Rosie when they get here later. Knowing nothing about the story, unless maybe you do, when you hear something like this, is this bad? I mean, they got a month left of the season. Is this season ending? Could it be?
I mean, it could, but that's the thing. They're probably just backing off on the progress.
Yeah.
The progress and progression that he was going through, and you know, maybe you give it another week and you reevaluate.
Let's hope not, man, because I really need him. And I was super. I think Lavelle was on with Barrero this week at the fair, or with PA, I forgot which one. And there was a hot rumor that Buxton may play on. He was supposed to maybe play last night or maybe even Friday when they. I think they're back in Detroit. But man, they need him in the lineup. It sucks that that these things happen to him.
All right, so if all three teams are just like in prime condition, right, playoff caliber.
Yeah.
What's the rankings of the pro teams in Minnesota?
If they're all in perfect health,
I'm saying like fan interest, right? You've got three teams, Wild, you know, Lynx are in there obviously as well.
Who I think clinched their ninth playoffs. They've been in
right,
the playoffs.
Obviously, they're perennial contenders.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm saying like what is the fan level interest between like baseball, basketball, football?
Well,
you know,
it's your old team number one no matter what.
Right.
The Vikings are number one from basically March until the end of when they get kicked out, because March we have free agency. I mean, you know, he played in the league and you will again soon. They have a way to make it. I mean, the combine in February is now popular. People
right.
watch the combine. Guilty. I think that it's football. The Twins haven't been good in a while, so I think it would go. Man, it's tough because when was the last time the Wolves were actually good? I mean, they went to the playoffs with Butler, but that we knew that was going to be one and done? I mean, it is the state of hockey. That's a really good question. Halva, you follow all these sports. What do you think it is? I think it's Vikings when they're all going well. Vikings, I think Wolves, because this is such a basketball town. And then the Wild, and then the Twins.
You're talking like popularity?
Yeah, popularity.
Okay, well, I just going off of TV ratings and ticket sales.
Yeah,
the Wild, I think, have a slight edge. And that's probably it's easily because the Wild have been more successful in recent years than the Wolves have.
This is like you playing four or five straight songs that only hockey would play.
I didn't say my heart or my job. I said
sometimes TV ratings. Sometimes I think hockey is the guy that rips out the heart in Temple of Doom, and you're one of those guys playing the drum as he does it. You don't have to do it and say everything he does.
Here's the problem, though.
It's okay. We don't have to. I love Michael Shines. We don't have to play it because you have to play it because you want him to know that, man, I got Hawk's side.
Wow, unbelievable. You see, I've been to Timberwolves games and I've been to Wild games the last few years.
Yeah.
The seats in the upper deck in the Timberwolves games collect dust.
Sure.
And they, one at the X, they need to like replace the foam every couple of years because they're used so much. So,
yeah, you're
I'm
right.
I'm sorry.
But I think when the Wolves are going, I mean, how old are you in 05? 04?
03, 04. Like, I was 8, 9 years old. Right. So I remember it, but not well.
When Kevin Garnett was the MVP of the league,
right,
it was the hottest ticket in town.
I'm sure.
When they're all going good, I mean, none of them have really ever.
Well, yeah, NBA is more, I would say NBA more, just because I think, you know.
And people want to be seen there, trust me.
Yeah, it's a bigger deal.
You go to a Wolves game that matters, whether it's the Lakers or when Zion's in town, the Todds of Todds show up. And sometimes you're there, you're like, did you not have time to go home and change? It's a Saturday afternoon. Why are you wearing a suit? You wear a suit all day, every day.
But if we win a cup,
that'd be sweet, dude.
This whole area is just gonna blow up.
Game 4 of the preseason is tomorrow on this station. Pre-game starting at 4. The game is at 6. We are 8 days away from the Packers and Bears on Thursday Night Football. The Bears are 3-point favorites. The Dolphins are interested in trading for Jadeveon Clowney, and it may include Dolphins left tackle Laremy Tunsil. If you're going, who? Laremy Tunsil is the guy whose draft night was ruined because someone tweeted a video of him in a bong gas mask. Come on. Brilliant. Clowney is currently holding out, but we'll see what that happens. Steve, every time something like this comes out, especially this started as just a small rumor. Now there is sources that say the Dolphins are extremely interested. Ron Rivera said there's no doubt in his mind that his quarterback Cam Newton will be available week one versus the Rams. He hurt his ankle against the Patriots in the third preseason game. And the Lions released Zach Zenner. He went to Egan. That sucks. DeSean Jackson broke his left ring finger, but the Eagles are confident he'll play in week one. The Golden Gopher football team gets underway in about 36 hours, and it will be on Cool 108, right, Zach Halverson?
That is correct. Should be a fun night tomorrow night.
They take on South Dakota State at TCF Bank Stadium. The Gophers are 12.5-point favorites. Everyone, not just locally, everyone thinks that this team is going to be really good. There's some national pundit who thinks they'll start 8-0?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I've heard a lot of good things. Mike Grimm was on yesterday, I believe, with PA, talking about how...
Yeah, but Mike Grimm is like getting...
I know.
It's like saying you heard something from Wabi.
True.
I mean, I love both of them.
Right.
Well, okay, I like one of them, but... Mike Grimm going, what's Mike Grimm going to say?
Well, he brought up the depth in particular.
That's like having Kevin Faulness on. Kevin Faulness, man, he's raving about the Wild. Well, yeah, obviously... That's like, how's Muppet? Well, she's great. you know.
I mean, you raise a good point. But
a lot of people do think they're going to be good. Barrera talked about some guy that said he said that they'll start 8-0. I'm not kidding you. When I made that bet, anytime Tommy Olsen says, I got a Gophers bet, I'm in. Because of how much I don't like the head coach. Love the kids. I don't like the head coach. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about this, the Gophers being on College Game Day. I'm worried about that.
You think so?
Well, my buddy Sean brought up a point, and there's a chance that they could be 7 or 8-0 when they play Penn State.
Ooh.
And Penn State could also be 8 or 7-0.
That's a game day.
That's a game that I lose that bet. The problem, the other reason why I made that bet, Kevin, and there's when you have a fall day and an NFL game or NFL college game day is on in the background, there's nothing better.
No.
Just not, I don't even watch it. I just like having it on. Well, I mean, I'm not going to do chores while I'm just basically laying on the couch looking the other way. I turned the phone on. How did I do that? See, attention to detail. But there's like three games I would bet out of 11 that are basically swing games. They're going to do at least three or four SEC games. If not, half of their games are going to be SEC games. They'll do a Michigan-Ohio State game if they play. They'll do USC-UCLA. So there's two options, maybe, of them doing it. But if the Gophers and Penn State are undefeated, I might lose that bet. I forgot how much it was for, but who cares?
Wow, that would be awesome.
That's here, right?
Yeah, it is here.
Yes.
I think it has to be here. It can't be that the Gophers, yeah, it has to be here. Then, Tommy Olsen made the bet that game day will be on campus. I think the other reason, though, that they, and maybe I'm wrong, but 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, they were up in North Dakota. And I think that there's somebody, a producer or somebody on game day staff that's from that area.
Yeah, they've been to
they're North always Dakota. In North Dakota.
Fargo.
I think that's why.
Huge.
I think
they've
somebody
gone to Fargo Dome.
Yeah, somebody on that staff or some lady or male higher up on ESPN is like, you're putting it at my old school.
I feel like once a year they go to an FCS matchup highly ranked Division I AA teams.
Well, and they do Grambling. I think they always do a Grambling game.
Right.
So, let's see. It'll be fun, though. I want it to be good because, as everybody knows and as Kevin brought up, when the sports are going good around here, everything's fun.
Yeah, I mean, that team, you know, the passion that the fans have when they're good, nothing's better than college football when it's on, when it's intense, when it's, you know, going back and forth, and we have a team that's got a chance at actually, you know, contending. I remember just a few years ago when you know, it looked like that team had a good shot. And
yeah.
I remember, like, going into that Wisconsin game and actually thinking they had a chance. Now they, you know, they got blown out eventually. But it was like, I love college football. I love Saturdays, man.
Same, dude.
So much fun.
I love about Big Ten football that weather actually plays factor in it. Right? Because, like, you know, Alabama ain't going to get snow in their last regular season game.
Yeah.
And that's a possibility in any Big Ten matchup.
Well, really. You played at UCLA.
Yeah.
Pac-12 football's huge.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing that I love about Big Ten football is we've heard from Tommy, Eddie, all these guys that played at Minnesota. It's tough to go to Northwestern, not because of the it's late in the fall, it's maybe in November. It's because so little people show up that there's no energy.
Right.
And Northwestern, the Wildcats, thrive off of that.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back, a lot of people have had opinions on Andrew Luck. A lot of people have said some things about Andrew Luck. When we come back, the greatest news sounder ever when it comes to how we should feel about the Andrew Luck who retired from the Colts on Saturday. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. It's me, Meat Sauce, Kevin McDermott, Haley, and of course the one and only Zach Halverson. Tell Corey his phone's ringing. Welcome back. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. The Meat Sauce and Zach edition. Hawk's gone. Corey's in the Dells until tomorrow, and then Corey and I will be here, and then full show Friday with obviously the initials game and game four of the Vikings preseason wrap-up, and we'll look forward to the regular season. And then Corey and I are at the fair with Parrish, the Zookers, and a couple other people on Friday. You and Hockey, of course, have a show.
Yes. Where at? Moorhead, the sister city smokeout, opening up for little
big town.
Big town, I think.
I guarantee if I asked him, he wouldn't know.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But, yeah. So we're here until 9 o'clock. Rosie and Gleeman and Bonus and Parrish should be here at some point. We'll just get till 9 o'clock unless Abbott comes in and plays the Titanic music and I have to leave. Are all of you familiar with Andrew Luck?
Quarterback, right?
Yes.
I've heard of him.
Okay.
Colts?
Yes, you are correct. And he retired on Saturday, and he was going to do a giant announcement Sunday and have a press conference and everything, and even said when it got leaked, and it just kind of, he just had to do it right there. And he did it in the locker room, and people booed him and everything. He basically said his mom would be upset with him because of what he was wearing, and then, of course, because of the world we live in a world where everybody wants attention and everybody has an opinion. The Doug Gottliebs of the world tweeted that this is the most millennial thing ever. And then Troy Aikman swore at him. And then almost every single NFL player has taken Andrew Luck's side. But there are a lot of people we saw, they booed. A lot of people were pissed. It was the moment. They're mad that they're a possible Super Bowl team. We talked about it. They were like plus 1,600 to win the Super Bowl. They went down to 5,000. Their over under on their season went from like 9.5 to 6.5. Game one of theirs, I think they played the Chargers. They went from a 3.5 point underdog to a 9 point underdog. So a lot happened with Andrew Luck, and of course, in this world we live in, a lot of people have opinions on him. Now, Dale Hansen, if I'm right, works in Dallas. He's correct. The Mark Rosen of Dallas, basically,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's gone viral before.
Lot of times because he has very... He basically... How can I word this? He's basically... Like, he words things so we all get it. He's basically the Shel Silverstein of...
Well said.
Thank you.
Of,
like, making everything that we all get it. And he basically says it. He's basically the George Carlin of sports analogies because he says how it is, and he gets right to the point. And this is a minute and 13 seconds, and he's coming back from a hit of a guy who's in, I think, Dallas, talking about some of the injuries the Cowboys have. And then he goes into this brilliant Andrew Luck take. And I wish hockey was here because there's one line about Indiana that I absolutely love. And I find a lot of joy in it.
Injuries to players like Devin Smith and Jalen Smith is why the reaction to Colts quarterback Andrew Luck's decision to retire is so incredibly stupid. Luck has a long list of injuries from playing this game, a concussion, a lacerated kidney, torn cartilage in the shoulder that kept him out a year, rib and ankle injuries too. So he decides to walk away while he still can. And fans at the Colts game Saturday night actually booed him as he walked off the field. How stupid do you have to be? How bad does your life have to be that you think booing Andrew Luck or even criticizing him, as some guy on Fox did, is somehow the right response? Some people are just too stupid to breathe the same air that we breathe, and a lot of them live in Indiana. But a lot of them go to football games everywhere, too. Football fans who will cheer the player who beats up a woman, drives drunk and kills people, cheer the player who uses illegal drugs, and will cheer the player who cheats to win, boo a 29-year-old man who has been in constant pain for 4 years because he chooses his life over money. I might be as stupid as so many of you tell me I am, but I have never been that stupid.
Brilliant. And no better example, when Tyreek Hill came back to the Chiefs, he got a standing ovation. Andrew Luck retires because he's too beat up, and he's been in rehab basically his whole career, and he is booed off the field. Tyreek Hill got a standing ovation. Dale Hansen is my hero. I love that bit. That guy, it's so spot on. And one of the things that keeps getting brought up, Kevin, is we saw this... Andrew Luck, 29. Gronk, 29. You played in the league. Is this a trend?
I'm 29.
You're 29. Right. Is this something that NFL fans should be worried about? Is this something where we're going to go, and every year we're going to sit there and go, I know he's on the team, but is Kirk Cousins going to, in a month or two, go, man, I'm tired of getting you know, hit. I'm tired of this. I got two kids. I got all the money I need. Is this something football fans should worry about?
Well, I think football fans are always aware of the fact that careers can end quickly. I mean, you know, Joe Theismann didn't think that his career was going to end as quickly as it did, but, you know, his leg got snapped in half, and that was just kind of the end for him, right? And so you have the injury aspect that things can change really quickly. But
Rosie,
I think that, like, guys now are realizing, you know, like you said, there is a lot of money in this game. Andrew Luck's made a lot of money. And if you are not passionate about it and not in physical shape enough to go out and protect yourself, then being on a football field getting chased down by Khalil Mack is probably not the place to be.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, it's probably a combination of not wanting to, you know, put himself in a position where he's going to get more injured because he's not completely healthy, and then, you know, he just seems to think that his life will be better without football right now.
Yeah,
and he's, you can't blame him for that.
No, you can't blame him at all. But I think a lot of people, and I think the only rebuttal to it is in March, the phone calls start coming. Hey, yeah, hey, it's the Colts ticket office. We got to the divisional round or whatever. I think they won their first game. Then they played the Chiefs in whatever round it is, the divisional round, whatever it is. Man, we got a good squad coming back. We got Andrew Luck coming back. He's rehabbing. He'll be back. This team is a great team. Another great draft class is on its way. We had one last year, yada, yada, yada. Okay, let me talk to my wife. I'll call you back. Hey, honey, man, we should get two tickets. They're expensive. I know, but this is
what
it.
About the money?
Right, we get in now. Here we go. Then 6 months from now, well, he's retired. And then you turn to your wife and you go, sweetheart, yeah, you know the season tickets I bought?
Sorry about that.
Right. But that's, you have every right to be upset, but booing, I don't get the booing. You can be a mad fan, but the booing bugs me.
Honestly, of all the things that went poorly in this situation, if I were Andrew Luck, the most angry I would be is that it leaked and that I didn't get to do it on my own terms.
Well, that's the other thing. How, in the world that we live in, and Adam Schefter's a friend of this station. He's on with PA. Him and PA, like, I think playing a fantasy basketball league together.
Oh, it ain't Schefter's fault. If Schefter gets a nugget of information like
that, I guess
you're
right.
A reporter.
Yeah.
You, that's your job.
I guess
you're
right.
You release that.
So who do you think, would have leaked it?
Whoever it was, you know, obviously got out ahead of Andrew's plan.
Yeah.
Right? And that's unfortunate for him because he's on the sideline not playing because he's injured.
Right.
And it starts to leak throughout the stadium and he's having to go tell his teammates just on a whim.
Right.
I mean, he didn't get to go out on his own terms. And I mean, it would have been shocking even if he had come out on Sunday and called a press conference and, you know, told the team in a team meeting and everything. But he was put in a situation where he had to, you know, hear those fans booing. And
yeah,
those fans were in a situation where they were just blindsided by it.
Right. He was going to have a giant press conference like Chad Greenway and B-Rob did.
Right.
But you don't get to, I mean, he did it in a, as you know, you've been to a lot of facilities, in probably a hallway.
Yeah.
His storied career ended in a hallway.
Yeah. In a small room in the bowels of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
He was forced to make his retirement announcement because
right,
someone who had that information leaked it.
Without his family. I doubt his wife was there. It's, yeah, somebody had to tell Schefter, but somebody, and it's not Schefter's fault, somebody had to be first.
Right.
That's what happened. That basically derailed his whole plan.
Yep.
Because somebody had to go, oh, wait a minute, I want to be first on this.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's just me, Zach, Helvey, obviously, over there, Haley, and Kevin McDermott. You're going, we're Corey and Hockey. Well, they're all gone until Corey comes back tomorrow. I guarantee you, yeah, they did. Somebody passed away. That's why Hawk's not here. I guarantee you, Hockey and Corey have felt the exact same way Kobe Bryant has. I am to Corey and Hockey what Shaquille O'Neal was to Kobe Bryant. I'll explain when we come back and do What Really Matters right here on The Fan. Another
night. The Fan.
Company. You're listening to The Fan.
Head to KFAN.com, keyword Kron, to nominate a military member, whether it's a friend, a family member, or a neighbor. Share your story of that active duty military member as part of the Kron Royal Purple Bag Project. Your nomination could win them a 4-pack of tickets, food, beverage, and a pre-game on-field experience when the Purple take on Denver on November 17th, thanks to Kron Royal. Make sure that you fall upon the floor, down to your knees. Now I'm betting on a miracle, to give me peace. I'm not asking for a miracle, just you and me. Hey, yeah, I wanna know if you're gonna be there. Cause it's hard to believe or see, yeah, yeah. Why do I get the feeling?
What's happening, sports fans? Welcome back. Power Trip Morning Show, Wednesday, August 28th. One day away from the Gophers opening up at home. Zach Halverson almost made a giant cardinal sin when it comes to me and how sensitive I am. He just told me off mic. I said, hey, do you have everything ready for what really matters? And he said, yeah, I've done this a lot. I did it with Ben Lieber, and he's way better than you. You got to wait till 9 to tell me I'm bad. You're basically starting the Titanic music before Abbott can get here and cancel us at 8 o'clock.
I just wanted to delay you because I like this song and didn't want you to start talking. So.
Who is this, Halsey?
It's Daya.
Who?
Daya. She's lesser known. She was at Star Party a few years ago. And see you there.
Yeah, no, I must have missed my invite to Star Party. Too bad I missed it. I have told that story, though, before. That's the only time, Star Party is the only time 4 or 5 years ago, it was probably longer ago than that, that I ever, and I immediately apologized, and I immediately still to this day obviously regret it. It's the only time in my life I've ever done the Do You Know Who I Am? Because my buddy Sean and I were drunk and we were there. And of course, because I'm awful with attention to detail and I'm just awful, like doing things on my own, that we got there and I didn't know where my VIP or whatever to get upstairs pass was. And of course, at the time, the lady that I was married to was working there and she was doing what she's doing and I couldn't get up there. And the security guard's like, dude, you don't have a VIP pass. I'm like, dude, I'm Fallon's husband. And he's like, I don't care who you are. I go, really? And I was going to just walk up there. And then I like stop for a second. I'm like, man, I shouldn't have done that. And I immediately went up to him like, dude, I'm so sorry. But it's weird that you bring that up because it's the only time I've ever done that in my entire life because I hate people that do that. It's such a stupid move.
It's the worst.
Because there's nothing worse than somebody going, no, I have no idea who you are. No idea. Hmm. And there are a lot of people around who do probably do that. People are going, no, I don't know who you are. I do weekends on TV. Oh, I don't care. Great. Get in the back of the line, bud. Good morning to
Jessica.
It's time for What Really Matters. I'll do scores and stats, and Zach Halverson will fill you with information that actually matters. The Minnesota Twins won last night 3-1 over the awful White Sox. Pineda went 5, giving up 1 run, scattered 4 hits, and he struck out 8. The bullpen of Dyson, Duffy, Romo, and Rogers, sounds like a law firm, scattered 2 hits, and they struck out 5, and they gave up no runs in the 4 innings that they pitched. The bad news is the Indians won 10-1 over the Tigers, who would probably be beat by the Louisiana team that won the Little League World Series. The lead for the Twins is 3.5. The Twins today will send Oda Rizzi to the mound looking for his 14th win. The game is at 7:10, and the Indians and Tigers play at 6:10. But Zach Halverson, what really matters is...
I've done all 3 of these already today.
Yes.
But this is a good way to measure your disgusting habits against everyone else. According to a new survey, 77% of people pick their nose. 72% pee in the shower.
Hold on, go back. Who here picks their nose? There should be a silent vote. Raise your hand if you pick your nose. Okay, all even Haley, all four of us do.
100%.
So much for a silent vote. Okay, raise your hand if, in here, and it'll be a silent vote.
Pee in the shower.
Yeah, all four of us. I don't care. Everyone does. Because what are you going to do? Walk your like wet feet,
right?
Excluding John Creasel, to the bathroom to pee in the toilet?
No.
There's nothing worse than wet feet on the floor of your bathroom.
I mean, I could make it from my shower to the toilet, but then that's probably more disgusting.
You could make it from your shower to the ceiling fan.
That's true.
It's all going the same place.
Yeah, correct. Well said, Kevin McDermott.
Right. And finally, 30% of people scratch their ass in public.
I mean, everybody does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, those are...
You could go to the fair. It's just a bunch of ass scratching.
That's why I regret... when we were at the fair on Friday, all these people, I love almost everybody that comes and sees us and their passion, and I love almost all of them because of how great and loyal they are. I shook hands on Friday. I don't do that. I got home, and I'm not kidding you, I washed my hands for, I'm not making this up, 10 minutes.
10. I don't blame you.
Yeah, I would just give everybody knucks. I wouldn't want to shake hands. I'm too much of a jerk.
Or you get the, and I currently, I don't know who messed with the thermostat in here, but it's really hot in here, and I made the mistake of wearing a white t-shirt that you can see my giant dinner plate nipples through. So I'm not taking my sweatshirt off. I'm boiling in here. So if I went to hug you, you get the hot armpit on your shoulder. That bugs me too. I just don't like germs.
Did you shave or did you wash your hands after you gave me a high five this morning?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Thank you.
You could stay home and help me shave my armpits. All right, my turn?
Yes.
According to Dan Hayes of The Athletic, Byron Buxton had a setback last night with his left shoulder. He felt something when he took BP on Sunday. He had an MRI yesterday, and it was clear of any structural damage, but his rehab is halted. He is now with the team in Chicago. He was going to play with the Colonels the other day, but he is now back with the team in Chicago. But Zach Halvorsen, what really matters is this.
You have an Apple Watch, right, Sauce?
I have two of them, and every time I buy one, I'm like, this is it. I'm buying an Apple Watch. I see it on TV. Apple has the best marketing plan ever.
Correct.
I don't know where it is. I even have the brand new one. Do you want it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll sell it to you.
Sounds good.
I'll have hockey buy it for me.
Thank you very much. Well, a 13-year-old kid in Arizona, which you can debate whether a 13-year-old should have an Apple Watch, but it's a good thing he asked for one for Christmas last year because it ended up saving his life. He was watching TV when I told him his heart rate was a dangerous 219 beats per minute.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So his mom took him to the doctor. They found out he had a heart condition that could have been deadly. The Apple Watch saved this 13-year-old kid's life.
That's awesome.
How does your heartbeat get that high?
That's terrifying.
Working out?
No, it sounds like it was just a resting heart rate.
He was watching TV. Those conditions.
When you're working out, it's like 160.
Right.
It's really high.
What should your heartbeat be?
Between 80 and 100 beats a minute.
Sounds like...
Or 60 and 100.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's been to the hospital a lot.
Just a couple
of
times.
Yeah, just a couple of times. My turn?
Yes.
Game 4 of the Vikings preseason is tomorrow on this station with the pregame starting at 4. Mannion will probably start, and then Slaughter and Browning will close it out. But what really matters, Zach Daniels, is this.
Well, let's see here. A new survey found the average millennial still spends more on groceries than they do at restaurants, but it's fairly close.
That sucks.
$187 a month on groceries, while $139 a month at restaurants, 29% difference.
So, I just paid my Target bill, and it's just me. I don't know how to say this without sounding like an elitist, but is $180 a month, and Kevin, as a family, is $180 a month like... Is that like you're just getting the essentials?
Yeah, that's no fluff.
That's nothing. Yeah. Like I went to Target. I'm not kidding you. I went to Target the other day to get a broom to sweep up my place because I got rid of the old one because it was gross. I spent $112 on stuff I didn't need. $180 is just you're getting the essentials, I would assume, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like toothpaste and stuff like that.
Milk, eggs.
Yeah. I just, when I said that, I'm like, that's not a lot.
And only $130 or $139 on going out, that's like two trips to McDonald's, basically.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I spend that before the meal comes at Manny.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's a shrimp cocktail.
That's a week for me. That's like, a, yeah.
That's, I mean, that's a, yeah, I have, I literally throw money out the window, but man, that doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, maybe people are just better at spending money than we are.
People are way better
at spending money. Do you cook sauce?
Yeah, I do, yeah. For one, it's an easy reservation. It sucks. Cooking for one sucks because, like, so my thing is I like having, I don't think I'm like a lot of people. I don't think I'm any different. I like having a meat and then some kind of vegetable, whether it's a vegetable or some kind of salad. My favorite thing are those bagged salads that you can get at, like, Target and you can get at, yeah, Tommy Olsen put that picture of that Manny steak out there.
So when I show you this Manny steak on the background of this computer, and there's a giant ribeye with a little bit of parsley on top, that's what you're talking about.
That's basically what I'm talking about. But the problem is with those bagged salads is they're for three or four people. So I only eat like a quarter of it, but then once you open it, it basically is, 24 hours later, it's brown. So I basically buy salad for four for one and only eat a quarter of it. So somebody, a billion-dollar idea, start making single portions of everything, and you'd make $1 billion. And it's not even me, but families of two. No one is going to eat. I mean, it's you, your wife, and a baby. You both aren't going to eat an entire bag of salad, and then the next day, even if you put the clip on it, whatever you do with it, it starts to go old in 24 hours. Start making servings for one or two and you'd make $1 billion.
Yeah, we throw lettuce out once a week.
I throw everything out because I can't get to it quick enough. It's mostly because I'm like, here's the week I become healthy. Here's the week I'm going to have bananas. And then the next day they're brown. I'm like, oh, what a waste of money. The money I've wasted on bananas is the amount of money those people spend on groceries a month. We come back, I'll tell you the Kobe story. We'll get to more sports. Maybe we'll mix in some more what really matters. It's the Power Trip Morning Show, Meat Sauce, Zach, Haley, and Kevin McDermott edition. Chris Hockey's out, and Corey is in the Wisconsin Dells. 7 o'clock hour comes up on the Power Trip Morning Show right after this on The Fan.
It's Tommy's Tailgates. Join Power Trip contributor and former Gopher offensive lineman Tommy Olsen at Buffalo Wild Wings in Dinkytown for 2 hours before Gopher football kickoffs. For all home games this season, come enjoy truly hard seltzer, Red Bull, and Coors Light drink specials with our guy Tommy Olsen. Go to KFAN.com, keyword events, for more info. Someone to breathe me back to life. Got a feeling that I'm going under, but I know that I'll make it out alive if I quit calling you my lover. Move on, you watch me bleed until I can't breathe, shaking, falling onto my knees.
Welcome back, Power Trip Morning Show, which I guess is now on KDWB. What is this?
The best song ever.
Is this Shawn Mendes?
Of course. It was Haley's idea.
Yeah, I was all in on this.
She's introducing me to this guy. He's pretty cool.
Here comes Abbott.
I'm looking forward
to
hearing more music.
You're more obsessed with Shawn Mendes than I am with
Dave.
Yeah. You're more obsessed with Shawn Mendes than Buffalo Bill was with that hole in the ground in his home.
She's looking at my desktop.
Welcome back, Power Trip Morning Show. Wednesday, we're here. Just me, Zach, Haley, and Kevin McDermott, the greatest human being of all time. How are you, Kevin?
I'm really good, Sauce. How are you?
So we're going to do sports quickly, and we'll mix in if Zach has any more, it really matters, but I'm going to start with this Kobe story. But then I want to run by you my post-radio plan, and I want to know if you think it's as ridiculous as Hockey and Corey think it is.
I've been tipped off to what this is, so...
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, I've got
some... Because you
I've
do
got,
it.
I've got some pointers
you
for
do
you.
It. I want to know if you think it's as ridiculous as they... Corey in hockey basically said that it's 0% chance that I get into this. But it's time for Fan 5, right, Zach Halverson?
Yeah, are you going to fire it or should I?
Sure, I will, man. I got nothing to do.
Are you doing it?
It's time for Fan 5, brought to you this hour by Culligan Bottled Water.
The Minnesota Twins won 3-1 over the awful White Sox. Pineda went 5 innings, gave up 1 run. He scattered 4 hits and struck out 8. The bullpen of Dyson, Duffy, Romo, and Rogers scattered 2 hits and struck out 5, and they give up no runs in their 4 innings. We'll get more into this when John Bonas, Aaron Gleeman, and Mark Rosen join in the 8 o'clock hour. But the Twins' lead remains 3.5 because the White Sox dominated the Tigers 10-1, and the Tigers would be beat by the Louisiana team that won the Little League World Series. According to Dan Hayes of The Athletic, Byron Buxton had a setback in his left shoulder during batting practice. He had an MRI yesterday, and it was clear of structural damage, but his rehab is halted. He's now back with the team in Chicago. He was going to play for their single A team, the Colonels, but he didn't. He's back in Chicago. The Vikings' 4th preseason game is tomorrow on this station with pregame starting at 4. Sean Mannion will most likely start. Sloter and Browning will probably play the rest of the way. We are 8 days away from the Packers-Bears opening Thursday night game. The Bears are -3. That game is in Chicago. The Dolphins are interested in trading for holdout Jadeveon Clowney, and sources say it may include the Dolphins' left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, who I think is more known to a lot of us for his gas mask bomb. I'm pretty much an open book. I say about everything. I've never tried that.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you. I got a little bit more. I wouldn't. If you have, don't admit that.
I haven't.
A buddy of mine had one, and it terrified me.
It looks terrifying.
It looks terrifying. That's way too much weed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
everything
too
in
much.
Moderation.
Well said, Zach Halverson.
Is there a worse thing that could come out on draft night?
How about it was
the first round?
I don't remember this. I don't remember completely, but wasn't it like a stepdad who was mad at him or something? It came out draft night.
I can't remember exactly the relation, but it was like his father.
Yeah.
Was pissed that he hadn't given him some money or something and tried to sabotage him.
He was going to be the number one overall pick, and because of that video, fell all the way to, I think, 13 or 14, and the Miami Dolphins swooped him up. And I think he's a really good player in the NFL. But that is another reason why the NFL dominates and why the NFL draft is must-see TV, because it's live reality TV that isn't scripted. It's brilliant. Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Panthers, had said there's no doubt in his mind that his quarterback Cam Newton will be available week one when they play the Rams. He hurt his ankle in their 3rd preseason game against the Patriots. The Lions released Zach Zenner, who went to high school in Eagan, and DeSean Jackson broke his left ring finger. But the Eagles coaches are confident that he'll play week one. Tomorrow, about 36 hours from now, on Cool 108, the Golden Gopher football team gets underway with their first game against South Dakota State. It's South Dakota State, right?
Jackrabbits, baby.
Yes.
Okay, I was just making sure because I don't want Abbott to be like, you didn't even look into the team. Oh, Mark Parrish is here.
Parrish.
Mark.
You're standing on the. Aren't you supposed to be right there?
No, I'm here. No hockey. Parrish, you're going to hate it in here. It's 1,000 degrees in here.
So hot.
Thank you.
It's so hot already.
DeSean Jackson, I said, broke his finger. The Gophers are going to play South Dakota State tomorrow. They are 12.5-point favorites. A lot of people are pumped about this. The Lynx clinched their 9th playoff spot in a row. And Tiger Woods had arthroscopic knee surgery on his left knee last week, but he's expected to return to play when the PGA Tour is in Japan in October. Mark Parrish, how the hell are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
Kevin McDermott, Mark Parrish, Mark
Kevin,
Parrish.
Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you.
Both of you have been in a pro sports locker room, right?
Yes.
Where
are we going with this? I'm already nervous.
I'll show you. You're familiar with what I do, right?
I am.
And I may not be the, work ethic? I may not have a lot of that, right?
Yeah, I fooled them for 12 years in the NHL.
Some
so don't
may
worry
say
about
I'm
that.
A little lazy.
No.
Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal didn't ever really get along when they were teammates. And in a recent interview, Kobe said, it was all Shaq's fault, and I would have 12 rings if Shaquille O'Neal hadn't been so lazy. He claims that he would have 12. He said that Shaq was just so lazy. I would assume Corey and Hockey have said the exact same thing about me.
That they would have 12 rings?
Well, I don't know. They'd probably have a Marconi if it weren't for me.
I don't know what that is.
That's like a Academy Award for radio.
There we go.
Yeah. It's just, I love that this why now?
Come on. Come on. And 12 and, rings just because of Shaq. How many does Shaq have?
How many does he have? Six?
So,
five or six?
He won one with the Heat.
He won one with the Heat.
Three with the Lakers.
Three with the Lakers. Didn't he win one as like a role player?
So, I mean, minimum, we're talking minimum four rings.
Four, yeah.
Three. The guy's got four rings.
Three?
Three.
Three.
And he's lazy.
Right. And
so he should have nine? Is Shaq blaming Kobe? This is spoiled brat.
You guys, right. And he's always complained about Shaquille O'Neal. You guys have played in professional teams. This is no shot, just like with me. I'm not the best one on the team, but I'm on the team. Randy Moss, there are rules for different players, right, Kevin?
Yes.
We're not worried about Shaquille O'Neal working his ass off in practice. If he can show up when the bell rings, we're fine with that, right? Now, there are some guys, you go further down the bench, who are you doing less than? Oh, we went out. Oh, who are you with? Shaq. Don't go out with Shaq. Why aren't you mad at Shaq? Because he just scored 35 points. I mean, there's a few unwritten rules about that. I know a lot of people hate unwritten rules, but that has to be one of
them. My rookie year, I was with the San Francisco 49ers, and we were in London for a game against the Jaguars. And we were staying at a hotel for the days leading up to the game outside of London. And one of the nights when we were supposed to have curfew, five of the guys on the team went out into London, and they will remain nameless, but
yeah.
They all got, you know, pretty tipsy.
Yeah.
Showed up at 5 a.m. Curfew was supposed to be at midnight. And two of them were cut and three of them were fined $5,000. And that was my introduction to, okay, there's completely different rules for completely different people in professional sports.
One of my favorite stories Morris used to tell is when he played in the early 90s, Dennis Green was tired of fighting. He was tired of fighting on the team. So the next guys that get in a fight are cut. The next two guys that got in a fight, one of them, I don't know who it was. The other one, John Randall.
John Randall.
Just quick, off the top of our heads, did John Randall get cut?
No.
No. No. That's the thing about this story is, Kobe, I get, plus, Kobe, sometimes the high school quarterback has to move on. You just let's leave Shaquille O'Neal. He's made a giant career for himself.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's one of the best basketball players of all time. He was basically the heir. I mean, he played a little. Obviously, he played a lot when Jordan played. But he was the next big thing in basketball. He was a merchandising dream with everything that he did when he played. Let's call him lazy when you played with him.
Yeah,
you're both almost in your late 40s.
Who cares at this point? Yeah, championship rings. You're comparing about how many Hall of Fame votes you got.
Right. Who cares at this point?
When you go to the different rules for different players, I got two that come to mind. One of them was it was the Wayne rule, and pretty much all through the 80s, as long as Wayne got to bed by midnight,
right?
Just get him to bed by midnight. Like stories of him getting carried.
Yeah.
To his bed. But as long as he got to bed by midnight, he was the best player on the ice the next day. And the same thing, the other one is the greatest goalie of all time, Marty Brodeur.
Yeah.
When I went on Long Island, our condo was right across more or less the same complex from the Garden City Hotel where a lot of the team stayed. And Lou Lamoriello, who's in Long Island now, the Islanders, was with the Devils. And he, I mean, iron fist. I mean, he runs his organization. He pays attention to everything. He's an eagle eye, everything. Unless something like, I don't know, about a half a dozen bottles of wine got delivered to Marty Brodeur's room.
Right.
because if it was Marty Brodeur, he didn't have a curfew.
Right.
He could get whatever he wanted. Like, he could get guests. Everybody else is like, no, you have to report who's going to show up at the hotel. If your wife's going to be there, it better not be for more than a, you know what I mean, type right. of thing. Unless it was Marty Brodeur's room. Then you could get away with murder.
Well, there's a mutual friend of ours who told me a story about when he first played a teammate of his, who I'm not going to say his name, but they all got to the hotel, and they're all hanging out. All of a sudden, right before they go up to their rooms, this guy's on his way out to a limo. It was in Chicago. And he goes out. Okay. These guys go to dinner. They go home. They go back to the hotel. They're there for curfew. They get up. They go and have breakfast in the hotel about 8 in the morning. Same guy rolls back in. Same suit. Same everything. Same limo guy. And the guy that we know goes, what were you doing? He goes, buddy of mine owns a bar here. Didn't close. The guy that night, 2 goals. But that's it. There's everywhere. There's a hierarchy everywhere that you have to, mm-hmm. you just, it's the way it goes.
I feel pro like sports. that Kobe comment, though, just fits into the ethos that he wants everyone to have about him.
Well, that,
where
yeah.
it's like, oh, I worked harder than everyone else. And
yeah.
Like, no one was up to my level. And if everyone had worked just a little bit harder, I'd have more rings.
He basically says right. that. He says, right. if he was in the gym like I was, if he had the work ethic I did, we'd dominate. Not everybody has that.
But they dominated.
They dominated.
Like, they yeah. won 3 in a row.
Yeah. And then Kobe didn't want to play with him. And now, 2019, we're talking about the Lakers, so I guess Kobe kind of wins.
Does this have anything to do with LeBron being in L.A.?
No, but you know what I love about LeBron? That Taco Tuesday bit?
It's good.
It's brilliant. It's just the way he says it. I love that. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about LeBron, but man, it was ESPN's lead story that last night was the first time in a week LeBron had done a Taco Tuesday interview or a Snapchat video. I love LeBron, man. I know some people rag on him and kind of dog him, but I love LeBron James. He's great for the league.
You can't. Do you think argue what do you think, he's done?
Do you think
was it 7 years in a row he got to the finals?
Do you think LeBron has a curfew?
Hell no!
Right. Do you think that there are rookies on this Lakers team that are going to go, where's LeBron? Why isn't he at the team meeting?
Yeah.
Shut up. You know what I mean?
It's when they signed LeBron, the Lakers also hired like 7 of his people.
Yeah.
So you could say that he is like part owner of the team.
Right.
Well, so that's basically. That's been the knock on him everywhere he goes, that it basically, it's the LeBron show. No matter where he goes, you have to put up with it. But they're probably the number one team. I think they're on national TV almost every night. There are a lot of money that comes with him when he shows up. So,
can you believe that Dwight Howard is on that team now?
Man, did you see the bit about Dwight Howard signs with the Lakers and it's basically no money is in the contract? He makes $14,000-something a day, which you're going... Well, you know, lucky, but it doesn't start until the season starts. And it's basically like you have one embarrassing thing, you're out. Yeah. He made no money.
Like the I think a union wouldn't. That's...
Well, I don't think he had any other offers.
Really, it's just
he was just like,
take it or go
take
home.
It or leave it. And
yeah.
I saw the contract only becomes guaranteed like in February. So he has to be on great.
Yeah. What has he done?
There's a lot of rumors about him that, you know, we're not going to talk about that, but there's a lot of, I mean, he was drafted number one, and there was, they drafted number one because of the school he came from, and it was a Christian high school, but I think he had a ton of baggage that they didn't know about that came with him.
Wherever he's been dominant, but just kind of like a locker room.
He gets paid until the first day of the NBA season.
Crazy. So they're banking on LeBron being able to keep his ego in check.
Yep.
That's what they're banking on.
Yep, they're banking
he's
on
the
that.
Only one. Like, is Magic Johnson still a part of them?
No, they
okay,
fired
so, yeah,
him.
So literally... LeBron's got to keep him in check. Otherwise, his contract's not going to make February.
Right. Or if he does anything embarrassing between now and then, he's going to be out. There was a story I was going to talk about with this Rays AA pitching prospect. It's too sad, though. I don't want to bring it up. Rays pitching prospect's family was killed by... It was
a family member.
Yeah, his wife, their baby, and their mother were killed by... the pitcher's brother-in-law. So the wife's brother. And it's just, it's terrifying. An 18-year-old kid was, he was arrested, and he was naked, and he'd shot the, it's just, it's awful. It's so bad. Mm. It's the worst.
Well, let's talk about your second career.
Why'd you
let's
bring that up? That.
Let's do that when we come back. Okay. So, when we come back, I want to bring up what I want to do after this, and Kevin McDermott is a pilot, and that's what I want to be, and I want to ask Kevin McDermott if I could ever be a pilot. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. Me, Mark Parrish, Kevin McDermott, Zach Halverson, Haley, I think, left. She got tired of it. But we're here until 9 o'clock. Rosie, Bonus, Gleeman will join. It'll be a very fun show until 9 o'clock when PA's at the fair with a cavalcade of great guests. We'll come back. It's the Power Trip Morning Show right here on The Fan.
Nobody but you, body but me, body but us, bodies together. I love to hold you close tonight and always.
The Fan.
To wake up next to you. I love to hold you close tonight and always. I love to wake up next to you. So we'll fill up the neighbors in the place to feel the tears. The place to
fan.com.
Welcome back, Power Trip Morning Show Wednesday. Meat Sauce here, Zach Halverson here, Mark Parrish here, Kevin McDermott here. I think Haley's still here if I haven't offended her yet. We are here until 9 o'clock. Corey's out, and Hockey is attending his grandmother's funeral. I think it's tomorrow morning, but he is out until Friday because he will be in Buffalo for the Vikings' final preseason game, which is on this station tomorrow at 4 p.m. with the pregame game at 6 o'clock. If you're going, why is Zach playing Steve Miller Band on a randomly? Well,
because Zach's got great musical taste.
He does. So I made the number one cardinal sin error when you work with Christopher Allen Hockey. Other than what I learned really, I learned early on is you never touch his paper. I'm not kidding you. He goes to get the paper from either Cub or one of these gas stations, the USA Today, the Star Tribune, and the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He gets all three of them. That's how prepared he is. And I learned at a really, when I first started, don't touch his paper. Like, I one time just walked in and just took the sports section, and he didn't, because, you know, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's
and
Hawk.
And then he waited until we got on the air, and he goes, where's my sports section? Knowing I took it, and go, I took it. He goes, don't touch my stuff. He's basically the guy in Stripes. Lighten up, Francis. And so I made the other cardinal sin, which is tell him something and think he's not going to go on the air with it.
I've learned that lesson a couple of times.
Everyone has. I've told him stuff and we just go with it. I'm like, Hockey, what are you doing? He goes, everything's show prep, dude. You got to tell me, don't go with it. And I go, you know how many things I've told you don't go on the air with and you go on the air with?
Right after. Like instantly.
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 So I walk in there a couple weeks ago before I went to Vegas and I said, Hockey, thought about this a lot, which is me basically. So I thought about it for 2 seconds. What I want to do when I get fired or need to find a second career. And he goes, what? And I go, I want to be a pilot. And he goes, okay. And I thought nothing of it. We come back on here, and they did about 2 segments on it, how Corey, they ripped me about my attention to detail and how I can never be a pilot, how you don't just, it's not like applying at a hardware store where you just go, well, I want to work here. And they savaged me. Now, turn to our guest, Kevin McDermott. You are a pilot.
I have my pilot's license.
Sure, but you know how to do it.
Yeah.
That means you're a pilot.
That means you're a pilot. Fair. Yeah, my dad has a law license. He's a lawyer.
I have a driver's license.
Yeah, we're drivers. Drivers. Right. Yeah. Could I do it? How hard is it to do it?
Okay, so what you got going for you is a lot of it is automated now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right? Like you press a button, it flies
like
from
a video game. And he's checked out.
But the fact that you can't get through this segment without not paying attention to my answer.
And you instantly picked up his phone as soon as he asked you the question.
You can't get through a 30-second bit. Does not bode well for your attention to detail.
As soon as I was done talking, I went to my phone. I went to my phone, and this is about me. I immediately went to my phone. Sorry, go on. Other than that, other than my horrible attention to detail.
I don't think you can do it, but I want you to because I want to hear the transcripts of you talking to an air traffic controller.
Oh, my God.
Or talking to people who are in the back of the plane and who are like, you know, complaining about the fact that there's a delay. You would be the most blunt and just rude pilot in America.
What's the first step? How did you get into it?
You go up in a like small little plane at a small airport like Flying Cloud, and they just, you know, you putz around the 100 knots, and, you know, you just get the feel for being up in the air.
Why did you get into it? Just something you wanted to
do? My wife wants me to fly her around the world.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's where you got into it?
Yeah. My wife wants me to fly her places, so I figured it'd be a fun little hobby to pick up.
So it's not something I could do.
Well, you obviously can do it.
Yeah, you have to be married.
You'd have to be medicated. Like, we'd have to put you on something where your attention would just be like sucked in
and take your phone away.
It's a ton of details, obviously.
Yeah, like
you don't just get in and go, "All right, hit the start button, press the gas, let's go." It's not that.
No.
It's autopilot, here I come.
It's not hopping in your car.
Can you text and fly?
No. You're not well.
I'm sure thank you for that answer. Pilots do.
No, you are not allowed to. But you know, like,
what are they going
to
do? Pull you over?
Well, no, you'd lose your license, I guess. But like, I mean, those pilots that are up there in the front of your, you know, Boeing Delta, 747 that you're flying to Vegas on, like, they're not just staring at the controls the entire time, right? Like, there's two of them up there. One of them will take it for an hour. The next one will take it for an hour. They're switching off, watching movies up there because it's all automated now.
Yeah.
But the planes that you're going to fly are not automated.
Yeah.
Because you got to learn how to actually fly a plane before you can press that autopilot button. And
you don't just start on 737, is what you're saying.
No.
Well, go ahead.
Wasn't your nickname Rumble Strips when you drove a car?
Yeah. It was before the texting and driving rule. But,
oh, my God.
Oh, that makes it better?
Yeah.
That makes it okay?
The thing, though, is I think, obviously, the only place I really go is Las Vegas. I was on my way to Las Vegas, and I sat next to a pilot because it was I think, right before the holidays. So they're traveling all over the world, and they're getting to where they need to go, and he was sitting right next to me. And I just started talking to him. Granted, I'd had a couple of drinks, but he's like, it's way different than it used to be. I'm not taking anything away of obviously I couldn't do it. I can barely get from here to my car without forgetting something or getting distracted or any of that. I was talking to you about if I could be a pilot, immediately went to my phone. I could never do it. But he did say it's way different than it used to be. He basically said, you got to get it up in the air, and then you basically, it'll get you there. But there is more to it than that.
Isn't the takeoff and landings the most important part?
Well, okay.
First three, last
here's
three.
The thing. Yeah, it's getting it up in the air and it's landing the plane. Those are the points where they're actually doing stuff.
Yeah.
But the whole training aspect is like, okay, what goes wrong if like we lose one of the engines?
Right.
Right. And that's where, you know, if you're
panic button hit.
Yeah, I panic over everything. I think this is a really bad. But this is the difference between hockey and.
Okay,
we're
going to take steps. You've been driving to work, right? Okay,
yeah.
So last time I was in here, you were talking about the new scooter that you had, and you wanted to ride it from your new place here.
Yeah.
So if you can successfully get here in the morning on your scooter without dying, then you should go up in a plane.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet, though. It's too dark out. I don't want to get
hit. Baby steps.
I don't want to get hit. Plus, if somebody was driving and they saw me on a scooter, they'd think one of the Guinness Book of World Record twins died and he was solo. Now he's riding a fat scooter and he's going on his way to work. That's what it would be. But talking to you guys about it is way more relaxing than talking to those two about it, because they immediately, well, they know me way better, but they immediately are like, no, you're an idiot. There's no way you could do it.
You know, they have these things called flight simulators.
Yeah, we should do one.
Yes. You should get one and stream it on Twitch. and see how you do.
We should do it during Wombo. I'm sure there's got to be one on Xbox.
Whoever loses the Common Man challenge has to go up in a plane ride with you.
We try to.
I choose life.
No one would. No one that knows me would get up in a plane with me. No one.
No.
No one would. I mean, I'm bad enough to fly next to Parrish's phone next to me. I'm bad enough to fly next to when I have no control over
Just
it.
Give him enough wine and brandy.
Whatever. Yeah, you can't give him wine and brandy when he's going to be flying the plane.
But, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna need plenty of it if I'm sitting next to him.
Is that an F-U-I?
What?
Flying under the influence?
Jesus. Didn't you have an FUI once? That's a UTI. Kevin, before we let you go, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for what happened.
Hey.
We love you. Everybody here hopes for the best for you and hopes everything pans out. What's Kevin McDermott's next step?
Well, right now I'm rehabbing from elbow injury. Got it all wrapped up here, but feeling really good.
Good.
And I'm going to be here in the Twin Cities rehabbing and getting ready to get back on the field. So I'm going to come in and bug you guys.
You come in anytime you want. And once that elbow gets fixed up, let's go out and play some golf with, I don't know, I can't think of anybody else we'd play with, but let's play some golf.
Right here.
Oh, sorry.
I'm right here.
Thank you, Kevin McDermott. You're the best.
Have a good one, guys.
That's Kevin McDermott. That's Mark Parrish. That's Zach Helverson. And that is Halen. We come back. We have Vikings news. Mark Rosen will join us. Bonus and Gleeman are an hour away. We'll talk all things Twins. It's the Power Trip Morning Show right here on The Fan.
It's fantasy draft time at Crooked Pine Ale House. Register to win a $150 gift card to Crooked Pint on our contest page at KFAN.com. And if you call and reserve your spot for your fantasy draft party of eight or more, Crooked Pine will get you $100 in Crooked Pine gift cards for future visits. Watch your back!
Great choice, Mr. Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Parrish.
What's happening? Welcome back. Power Trip Morning Show, Wednesday, August 28th. Chris Hockey's at a funeral for his grandmother, and Corey Cove is in the Dells. We are joined by Mark Parrish.
Hi.
Zach Halverson. Haley. And now the one and only Mark Rosen. Rosie, I thought you were supposed to be here at 7. A little breakfast with my attorney.
No comment.
Okay. Shocking. How are you, Rose?
I'm doing well. What was that, Zach?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. No, I'll just pass on that
He's his best, doing his best Chris Hockey impression.
Is he?
Taking
okay.
shots at everything.
Of course he is. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's a nice, another brisk day. Bizarre day at the fair yesterday, early in Commons program. The hailstorm came down. I don't know if it was everywhere.
I didn't get anything out of Minneapolis.
Crazy. It was just crazy for a while out there. Then it stopped, and it started pouring again. So then the sun came out. But it looks like we're going to have a great great Labor Day weekend. And then I pick up the paper that I did not steal from Chris Hockey.
Yeah. Don't do that.
And they're talking. Is it the almanac? What are they saying? It's supposed to be the Farmer's Almanac?
Yeah.
Maybe it's actual weather geeks.
Later, but yeah.
Like, be the worst winter since civilization began.
Hideous.
Here. I mean, it's. Well, I think to myself, well, isn't
global
that way
warming
pretty
doesn't
much
matter.
Every winter?
We're Minnesotans, so I think we're a little jaded to begin with.
Yeah, I mean,
we talk about it all the time, though. When we go from winter to then summer, we never get a spring.
No.
We have gone right to fall. It is currently fall.
It is. It feels like it.
I was in a sweatshirt and pants. It was 50 degrees when I took Muppet out this morning.
Oh, poor Muppet.
Yeah.
I love this weather. It's looking great this weekend.
Yeah.
Like it
means
high 70s.
Coming.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It means everything's coming.
That's disgusting. Sport.
Anyway, all's good. Yeah. I mean, it's lots going on. You kind of feel like mentioned this at the fair the other day. This week is sort of, everyone's kind of discombobulated a little bit. Unless some of the kids went back to school this week earlier.
Yeah, which I found weird. And, Have your kids gone back yet?
No.
I thought it was after Labor Day.
Well, everyone's different. I mean, I talked to Frank and Amelia. I used to work with those people. Their kids went back to school this week. I don't know, they're private school. But it's all over the map. But I think that's why, you know, this weekend in particular at the fair, I think will be bonkers, because even if you're back to school, you want to get your last shot in before it really does begin after Labor Day.
This is Vikings news. I'm going to play this.
It is Vikings news.
One of my one of the worst things that I do is talk behind people's backs. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that.
But yes, we are.
Very, very, very positive.
I like it.
Very impressive. One.
It's time for Vikings news.
Touchdown!
Presented by
Petco, your truck accessories pro.
The Vikings play their final preseason game tomorrow. I mean, we get the kicking game, all that, Mannion, Slaughter, all that. We get that. Fourth preseason game doesn't matter.
No.
Kevin McDermott was in here for about two hours. Mm-hmm.
Just saw him by the elevator, yeah.
And Mark Parrish has a similar story. He was obviously bought out in the NHL. When I went downstairs to get Kevin McDermott, mm-hmm. it was the exact same positivity and same attitude that he has had a month ago when he was on the team. The unknown to a lot of people scares people, not Kevin McDermott. And Mark Parrish brought up a point, how proud of him he is that he came in. I said to him, I said, if I'd gotten fired, the attitude that I would have for 2 or 3 weeks would be hideous, and Parrish shares this.
I am so impressed with his character. I was lucky enough to be on with PA when I was playing here with mm-hmm. the Wild. Mm-hmm. I would be a weekly guest with PA. After the buyout happened, I shut down. I couldn't do it. He kept asking, like, no, come on, let's keep this going. Let's talk. Let's hear your story. I could not do it. Whether it was my ego, emotionally, whatever it was, I couldn't do it. Finally, after a couple of months, he finally talked me to come back on. I came back on, and I sounded just bitter.
You're upset.
Bitter. Mm-hmm. Like exactly what I was afraid of. And this is after a couple of months. And he came on, like, his character, his true persona just shows, like, the way he can handle himself, come back right now and just understand that, hey, this is life. I'm just moving forward. Like, I'm so impressed with his ability to do so. It just, my mind is blown.
I don't think there's a right or a wrong way.
Yeah. How
you handle it, Mark, and the shock and what you have to go through as a pro athlete and after, you know, blood, sweat, and tears for all those years and, you know, some nice paychecks, but at the same time, you poured your heart and soul into it and every single day. And when it's taken away from you, you know, don't feel like, you know, communicating about it at that point.
But
life goes on.
He can turn the page. The way Kevin can just turn the page and I think moving forward is so impressive.
I think more of today's pro athletes have that understanding that it's a means to an end, that it's not everything in their life. And I think this last week, in particular, I mean, with all the publicity Andrew Luck received, I mean, and then what the conversation began about how he just retired suddenly the other night, and then Rob Gronkowski follows up yesterday talking about just the joy of the game was gone. I mean, he was dealing with the pain, and he's a big proponent of CBD oil for players. I'm sure there's a whole conversation about legalized marijuana. We can go through all that, but more of just how you combat what goes on in the NFL.
Yeah, we have it right here.
Oh, I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. I was losing that joy in life. I'm sorry right now, but, And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through, and I knew I just have to fix myself. And I believe I have the tools, I have the people around me to get to where I need to get to in life. And I am very satisfied where I am in life now.
Interesting context from Rob Gronkowski.
He talked about how he took a hit in the Super Bowl where he couldn't sleep.
Right.
It hurt so bad.
Yeah, I've heard more horror stories from NFL players that never got told about exactly that and then some. I know there's some nervous laughter when Gronkowski was breaking down a little bit there, because I don't think the people there, whomever he was talking to, knew how to react. But there was a lot of pain in that soundbite. And people look at Rob Gronkowski as the party boy. He's always, you know, he's had some big thing, you know, after a Super Bowl, and he's got his shirt off and blah, blah, blah. It's all a facade. I mean, that's the real Rob Gronkowski right there. That's exactly what he's dealing with as a young man. So I think it, I think a lot of players are going to be taking a hard look at this, in the NFL in particular, when there is no, look, at, he's right. They all sign up for it. They get well compensated for it for the most part. Although I think still without the guaranteed contracts, the NFL is still way behind many other sports. But these young players, we're going to be talking about Viking cuts this week and the end of it. We forget that there are people. These are guys, young kids that are trying to, you know, fulfill their dream. And if it doesn't happen, they try to find a different route. But I think the Kevin McDermotts of the world understand that you go into this thing with your eyes wide open.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that you better be ready for life after football, or life after sports. And a lot of the guys, I mean, and we were talking to Alan Page yesterday. I was talking to him at the State Fair yesterday.
How great was that?
Yeah, he's...
He's the best.
But I remember Alan Page studying his law books while he was on a bus or team plane when I was flying with those guys. I mean, he was always taking the next break, knowing that as the most dominant defensive tackle in the NFL at that time, it was still going to come to an end at some point, and it was not going to be what was going to define him, number one, or be his career. This was basically a vocation. Well, you know, again, what he was doing, the NFL, the top defensive lineman, the first defensive lineman to be named MVP in the National Football League, but he was going to be a lawyer and turned out to be a, you know, state Supreme Court justice, and God knows he could have done anything. But that's what I'm saying, is that people have a, have their eye on the prize other than continuing understanding your football career could be over in a snap.
And I don't, it's interesting that you bring that up, because the NFL players are ahead of NHL players when
what
it comes
way?
To that. I remember this when Ben Lieber, even though he's younger than I am, he was talking about retiring, and he was, I don't remember exactly how many concussions he had. We were down at Sean Podine's golf tournament down in Rochester. And he's like, no, I'm going to retire. I've had this many concussions. And here I was, older, more concussions, still just trying to hang on as an NHLer. Like, we just want to, like, our mentality is we're like, just keep playing, you know, until your legs fall off, which it doesn't make it right. Now that I look back, or even, I just remember that was a big eye opener for me. And I it was another year or two until I retired. But yeah, like, they're just very aware of that life after football, that there's,
I think Crosby had a number of concussions.
Quite a few. And I just think that, and that the NHL, it's just like, hey, we want to, it's play until your legs fall off, play until they kick you out. You know what I mean? Like, find a way to keep playing, whether it's a broken leg, whether it's a concussion, this and that, where NFL players are much more aware of, like, hey, I still want to have a brain when I leave this game.
And I was
so impressed with that. I'll never forget that conversation I had with Ben down in Rochester.
Well, I think
it was a big eye-opener for me.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if what happened this weekend is going to affect even other players in other sports. Right. Looking at that, what Andrew Luck did the other night, and if it will shake people up a little bit who play the sport. It's an interesting conversation.
They're just going to make more and more and more money. That's the other thing. I mean,
well, absolutely.
There was a lot of people on Saturday that said he could be walking away from almost a half a billion dollars. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, one of these quarterbacks is going to make $50 million a year, and it's probably going to be guaranteed.
Sure.
You know, in a $50 million contract, that's a ton of cash.
Right. Right.
And but eventually you have to say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I can't take the lacerated kidney that he had, the shoulder problem that he had. You do what you want. You can't get mad at Andrew Luck for walking away, but it's going to be more and more, because they're going to have even more and more money to fall back on in a shorter period of time.
Some of the players will.
Some of them will. Yeah, you're right.
Some, not all, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tons of cash, because they monetize their podcast, Gleeman and the Geek will be in here.
We're gonna do
a lot of Twins talk.
Nice.
We'll play the best rebuttal to the Andrew Luck thing for those of you who are getting in your car now. We got a lot to get to in an hour. The Twins won last night 3-1. We'll cover all that when we come back. It is the Power Trip Morning Show, minus Corey, minus Hockey. They both passed away.
The Fan.
Roxanne, you
back. Power Trip Morning Show, final hour. This is the most crowded this studio has ever been of all time. And this is what I love about this show, and one, because all of you are basically like fathers to me, and you knew that I couldn't do this on my own. We have Mark Parrish, who has paid for every meal or golf round I've ever played in.
I prefer brother as opposed to father.
We have Rosie right there. And then we have Gleeman, who just, you know, loves me more than anything, I think.
Yeah.
You and I have this weird, like, well, you and I, as George Carlin once said, both have major psychotic hatred.
Yeah.
So,
as my girlfriend will often say,
yeah,
all right, you've already said you like meat sauce today. You don't have to say you like them again.
And then John Bonus of Gleeman and the Geek, who also treats me like his own son, who knows that he needs to be here just to help me get to 9 o'clock, because I said at 5:30, Abbott's going to walk in and go, you know what? Nordo and PA got it out at the fair at 8. He's basically going to be my version of the Titanic violins playing as the show hits rock bottom and is never...
It's the iceberg.
He hasn't come in yet. How is everyone? Rosie, you good?
I'm fantastic. Yeah, I'm glad these guys are here because, you know, I love talking ball. And I think the Twins last night, a nice win over the White Sox. When they were almost, I'm going to say they were almost underdogs, but after what Giolito did to him a week ago, you're thinking, uh-oh, this could be tough. But Pineda out-dueled him in that, when you use that term. So, yeah, everything's good, and looking forward to the home stretch of the baseball season.
Mark Parrish, the Twins have a 3.5-game lead. You play professional sports. You're the only one out of all of us that have played professional sports. Those players on the Twins know how many games Cleveland is behind them, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, this is the time of year where you start looking at the standings. There's a good 75% to 80% of the season, maybe, where you're not really paying. I mean, you're paying attention. It's your job to know where you're at. But now it's every game. Like, they're starting to watch the other games.
They're
too.
Watching,
like,
the scoreboard.
Because now you're starting to do your homework on who you're running into in the playoffs. Now you want to know what pitchers, their tendencies. Now they're starting to watch those games intently. Not just kind of watch the standings, watch the scoreboards. Now it's they're watching the games. They're in the locker room watching them.
Cleveland's watching right now.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
The Twins.
They won 3-1 over Giolito, who last week, Aaron Gleeman and John Bonus shut them out. Big win last night, even though the White Sox are horrific.
Yes. I mean, he's a great pitcher, Giolito.
He would have shut out anyone.
When he's on the mound, they're like sort of a playoff caliber team. When he's not on the mound, they're probably the third worst team in the American League.
Yeah.
And so to take one from him, and now you have the next two. I mean, you still have to take care of business with the next two, but it puts them in a better spot. And he was pretty good last night, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as if they knocked him around. They got him basically on two pitches to do some damage. And, I mean, that's all you had to do. And for somehow, Michael Pineda now is their number one starter. Yeah.
Everybody saw that
close.
Coming.
Which is one of the strangest. Like, I looked up a bunch of he has like a 3.10 ERA in his last like 14 or 15 starts. You know, he's not a guy who goes 8 innings or even 7 innings, but it's usually 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 innings, 2 runs, something like that. And when you compare that to Gibson especially, but even the version of Barrios we've seen lately, I mean, at the very least, he would be in your playoff rotation.
Would you guys agree right now, if the playoffs started tomorrow, and as Corey Cove says, they don't, that Pineda would be the guy you give the ball to right away? I would.
Bonus? Who would start game one, Bonus?
I'd give him.
Boy, I don't know. Ask me in a month.
I'm not asking you.
What is this, yeah, ESPN? Why are we screaming?
I don't know. Good point. I think my number one starter, if it started today, is Odorizzi. I think Odorizzi, what he's doing.
He could win his 14th game tonight?
Yeah. I mean, he's been less bad than Barrios for the last month, basically.
Horrid.
Yeah.
Less bad.
Perry, when you, as a professional athlete, what do you do when you go through a slump? Do you need time off? Do you fight through it? Barrios has given up how many runs? He gave up 9 a couple weeks ago.
I think
it was
something like 24 runs in his last 22 innings or something like that over, you know, 4 or 5 starts.
When you get in a slump like that, Perry, what do you need? Rest? Do you fight through it?
Focus on the basics. Just focus on the basics. What got you there? You know, like when you're not scoring goals, you just get to the net, shoot the puck, get out of your end. Like, you just focus on the basics of the game and then worry about that. Because you start worrying about the end result, you worry about scoring goals, you worry about striking guys out, then you're going to get lost in the process. So you got to focus on just each individual pitch. Just getting back to finding
curveball,
whatever it is. Just finding those simple, just keep that going. Because you don't want to, once you force it, that's when mistakes start happening. bad mistakes.
Yeah, the question they have for Gleeman the Geek are really about Barrios, because it's such a big start tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah,
in Chicago is. I mentioned Rick Aberman is their sports psychologist, and I thought maybe he'd be spending more time with Barrios than their pitching coach right now. But do you think, are we hearing anything that we don't have any physical, he has any obvious physical issues right now? Does velocity drop that much? Or is it between the ears that he's just really not, as Perry was just saying, not that confident out there that in his location and the way he's approaching each inning.
I mean, it might be a little, but Bonus actually had a decent point, and I that's like a sentence I almost never say. But last night when we were talking about this, his point was, you know, because I'm worried about him physically, like you said. I mean, the velocity's down. It's not down 5 miles an hour, but he's down a mile and a half an hour on four-seam fastballs, two-seam fastballs. It's a weird thing. But Bonus' point was, they've already shut down Pineda twice for, you know, quote-unquote injuries. This team, certainly under this management with Baldelli, they kind of like the idea of extra rest. And if Barrios said, look, my arm just feels weird, I don't think they'd have any problem shutting him down for 10 days. So Bonus's point was, he must be telling him that he feels fine. Right, and so that's right. Why you see with Wes Johnson, they seem to be going back, like Parrish said, like back to basics, basically. Let's just get your mechanics right from the start and try to, you know, the results hopefully will come from that. But I mean, as someone just observing it, he's just not, it's clearly not right. And no,
he doesn't look right.
Right. Which is, you know, that's the worrisome part more so than.
Well, and he's got a history of sort of fading in August and September. He's not a huge guy, you know, so the narrative around Barrios has been he wears down at the end of the year. Whether that's a fair narrative or not, that's sort of been the perception of his career so far, right? So that was sort of the initial thought process. But yeah, like Aaron said, you know, this team has not hesitated to throw Odorizzi on the IL with a blister. They have not hesitated to shut down Pineda a couple times. They give Gibson a little longer start just before the All-Star break. They like to rest people, right? They don't panic about resting people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not treating it like an injury. They're treating it like, no, we just got to get something right, and the only way we get it right is you keep going out there. I mean, he's not even getting really extra rest. Right now, he's just had two off days in the last week, and nobody's pushed back. You know, they had the perfect time to sort of skip some starts here, and they didn't do it. So I think it's mechanical or mental, but they're not treating it like it's physical.
And mind and body, they go together. Right. What's good for the mind is good for the body. It's a long season. For those pitchers, they don't pitch every day. So they've got, it's more, I would put money on it being, thank God Corey's not here, but I would put money on it being more mental than physical. The way these guys are trained, the way their bodies are, the nutrition, the way these pro athletes are nowadays, and things.
Especially Barrios. But he's a workaholic.
Every day. It's being able to keep that top edge mentally every single day, every single game. Whether it's you're pitching once every 7 days, whether you're at bat, it's keeping that mental edge. And once any of that starts to fade, well, the body starts to shut down too. So they're one and the same, whether it's mental or physical. It's literally the same thing.
They basically, I think it was either the broadcast or somebody said that Barrios' thing is he's one of those no days off guy.
Right.
So he gives himself like a week and then he's right back at it. And he's the one who posts all these videos of him, you know, pulling cars. And eventually, I don't care how young and in shape you are, that'll wear you out.
Well, that's the funny thing about pitching too, is I think people like Bonus said, he's a, you know, he's probably 5'11", 180 pounds or something like that. And so it's easy to look at him. You're a very Gleeman-esque figure.
Yeah, it looks like you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like you lump yourself in. If you woke up and you looked in the mirror and you saw me, that'd be it for you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I've seen enough. But yeah. I appreciate you lumping yourself with it.
Well, the only reason I wore that sweatshirt so long is this white shirt, you can see my nipples through.
Yeah, that's how you get people into the studio.
I have a great view of them over here.
I was so very stimulating. Hot in here that I'm like, I have to. I don't care. Yeah.
You are hot in here.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, now I've lost that. No, but what I was going to say.
I'm sitting in the other room.
Yeah, that's my bonus. Bonuses over there.
I'll join you after this break. But if you look at actual success, I mean, like CC Sabathia has been, 75 pounds overweight for 20 years.
Correct.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Right. I mean, the Bartolo Colon, who everyone
Cecil
loved.
Cecil Fielder.
Right. And so the idea, especially with pitchers, like there's no, and you know, Greg Maddux threw 200 innings a year. He looked like a guy who like sold beer at the ballpark.
Right.
Like, he would he looked like he never did a sit up in his whole life or anything. So I think it is fair to wonder if Barrios is, because of how slight he is, that he wears down. But it's also guys like that have thrown tons of innings, and fat, out of shape guys have thrown even more innings.
Sure.
So, I don't know, pitching is such a weird thing.
Well, and without a day off, I think, for quite a while now, and with the call-ups next week, they certainly have more people, more arms right. Available. Potentially, they could give him a break, depending on how he fares on Thursday. But he's got to straighten himself out if they want to count on him in the postseason. They can't just keep going on through this routine. Meanwhile, Byron Buxton has suffered a bit of a setback. He was theoretically supposed to be back with the Twins in Chicago. Now we're going, they're saying his shoulder's not right. So yeah. His rehab will continue, and no one knows when that's going
to
happen.
We'll get to that next segment, okay, but right now let's do some Fan 5.
All right.
It's time for Fan 5, brought to you by Garage Solutions Minneapolis.
The Twins lost yesterday 3-1. They won, sorry. I was getting to the Indians. I'm too far ahead of myself. I've had too much coffee. Just okay, now that there's other people here, Rosie's mean to me.
Hey, the facts get in the way of a headline. Twins lost yesterday. They did. I went to bed. They were winning 3-1.
They
won. Ninth inning.
3-1. The bullpen of Dyson, Duffy, Romo, and Rogers scattered two hits and struck out five. They gave up no runs. The bad news is the Indians won 10-1 over the Tigers, who I think the Tigers could be beat by the Louisiana team that won the Little League World Series. Their lead remains at 3.5. The Twins will send Odorizzi to the mound looking for his 14th win, and the White Sox will counter with someone I've never heard of.
Doesn't matter.
The Indians and Tigers play at 6:10. We'll get to the Byron Buxton thing next segment. The Vikings play their final preseason game tomorrow. Mannion, I would assume, will start, and Slaughter and Browning will play the rest of the way. We're 8 days away from the Packers and Bears game on Thursday Night Football. The Bears are -3. The Dolphins are interested in trading for Jadeveon Clowney. It may include Dolphins left tackle Laremy Tunsil, who a lot of us are like, who? But you remember Parrish. Oh, Rosie.
What? I'm sorry. I was just taking a deep breath. I was just inhaling.
He was the guy that had the bong gask mask on.
That was one of the greatest moments in NFL draft history.
That night, that video leak. Like, we talked about that with McDermott.
Yeah.
Somebody was upset with him.
Who leaked it?
I think it was his dad
father or somebody.
No way, his dad did that.
Yeah,
to him?
Somebody was mad at him for something. Yeah,
dad had a video.
He went.
So many questions.
He went from
right. Why does his dad have that?
I know. How did he get it?
They party.
He went from the number one overall pick to 14th because of that video. The Lynx won. They've secured their ninth playoff spot. Great for them. The Golden Gophers play South Dakota State tomorrow at TCF Stadium. Tommy and the Fargo Flash will be on tomorrow. The Gophers are 12.5-point favorites. And Tiger had some a knee scope on his left knee, but he will be back in October.
I know you're not a soccer guy, but the Loons lost last night to Atlanta because their guy kicked the ball wide left at the against Atlanta. At the end of the game.
Seems fitting.
No, I don't. I just made that up. But they did lose 2-1. What's wrong?
Sauce is not a soccer.
That sucks. That sucks.
I like soccer more than tennis.
Okay. U.S. Open's going on. You want me to review every match that's going on?
Are those the bottom two? Like, is that...
I'd rather be thrown.
Tennis is last and soccer is second to last on just a list of everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put your nipples below both. Personally?
Thank you. But here comes the Titanic music. We'll come back. I want to ask you guys about this Byron Buxton thing and what it means. And I want to ask all of you, should they have traded him for Noah Syndergaard, knowing what they know now? It's Saturdays with Sauce, weekday edition, because it's the Power Trip Morning Show. Hockey is gone. Corey is gone. Zach Halverson's running the board. Bonus is here. Gleeman is here. Rosie's here. Parrish is here. We'll take you up to 9 o'clock. PA's at the fair with Nordo. They got a great lineup for that. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. We'll be back right after this on The Fan. I was like, good gracious,
ass, bonacious, flirtatious, trying to just take it in and be quiet. You know, waiting for the right time to flash them keys, and I'm leaving,
please believe in, me and the rest. The Fan. Checking out a lock at the top of the Ace Hardware.
Heading out to the fan, we'll start again. Heading out to the fair. And in need of a quick cool down? Stop by and see us to get your Fratelloni's Ace Hardware fan at the fan booth and stay cool out there.
God's name are we listening
to? What happened to Shinedown?
What is this?
This is Bad this Flower, and we played this. Hawk has played this numerous times.
Yes, of course. So we play whatever Hockey plays.
Yes.
We just have to make Hockey happen. You're in like a cult, and Hockey's the leader. You're like afraid that...
There we go.
Very Jim Jones-like.
Yep, there's Hawk. Yeah. It doesn't sound anything like Shinedown.
This is the end of the show. Sorry. Obviously, for the end of the show, we have to play the Titanic music. It's a Power Trip morning show. Hockey and Corey are both out, so it's me, Aaron Gleeman, Mark Rosen, Mark Parrish, John Bonus, and Zach Halverson. I'm not kidding you. I had all of you come in because I would assume one of you was not going to show up.
Oh, I knew that point was coming. I knew it.
Who would that have been?
Yeah. I knew it.
So we're just, you know.
Had I known you were solo, I would have left you alone.
Yeah, I'm like, I was waiting on my phone to get the Mark Parrish.
Actually, that would have been good if we'd all coordinated. Yeah. Let's just not come in.
Oh.
Like, tell you we're coming in so you don't book anyone else.
Yeah.
April Fool's then, break. Just watch you from the back.
Just praying for Lisa Simpson.
I mean, yeah, we would have just basically had to talk about, I don't know, Shinedown?
Yeah, you'd have Zach, but we'd have to get Zach in on it, too. Like, don't show up for work, basically.
Well, then, it would have been real bad. It would have been really bad.
Would have been funny, though.
Last night we found out that Byron Buxton had a setback, and they didn't call it a setback. He felt something in his left shoulder during batting practice. He had an MRI. There's no structural damage, but he's now with the team instead of his rehab. Parrish said during the break, when it's a shoulder injury, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, shoulders, they're never the same. Once you mess up a shoulder, whether it's a rotator cuff, a suspension, a separated shoulder, a dislocated shoulder, anything like that. I've had a broken collarbone, rotator cuff, slap lesion, torn bicep tendon.
I've had one of those.
I'm glad it's not in his throwing shoulder, because I think that would be the most awkward. That would
be
tough. But still, he's got to get used to that. So, and the other, we talked with the cruises in his wrist and the scar tissue. Like, he's going to have to deal with this scar tissue.
Yeah,
of course, injuries. So he's, but the injuries, regardless of the injury, there's going to be scar tissue inside, right? So he's got to get used to it at the same time. It's that fine line when you're coming back from an injury, especially a shoulder, because it's never the same. It's like a knee. I've got a broken knee and a broken shoulder, and there's something that you have to get used to, because it's never the same, and I'm just glad it's not in his throwing shoulder.
Rosie, before we ask Lehman and the Geek, is this going to just be how we are with Byron Buxton, where he's just hurt and we just kind of deal with it?
Well, I hope not. I mean, he's still very young in his career, and some of this stuff has been not related to what he's going through right now, but at the same time, you know, the cautionary tale is Byron Buxton has to figure out how to quit crashing into walls every time that there's a fly ball out there. Common gets on me all the time about it, saying, "You see what Jake Cave did?" I went, "Okay, let's pump the brakes on Jake Cave a little bit." The outfield,
he loves Jake.
I know he does, but the point is that he's been spending way too much time this early in his career on the injured list, and these things can become, as Perry was talking about, problematic. And the Twins are they're saying, "Oh, look at we feel that he's going to help this team at some point before the season's ending." Blah blah blah. They don't know any more than what anyone else knows right now. They'd like to think that, and the Twins are definitely a better baseball team, and Byron Buxton's in the lineup, both defensively and offensively, because what he can do when he gets on the bases, and he just changes the dynamic on a team that's about to set the all-time record for home runs. But he's got to figure it out, and I hope he can come back and play healthy, but I think it's a really good point. He may have to make some adjustments. Not going to be 100%, no matter how you look at this thing with that shoulder. It's not going to have some sort of machine that's going to magically make it better tomorrow. So we'll have to see how this pans out over the next couple of weeks.
Bonus, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I coming into this season, I thought the concerns about his injury history were overblown. You know, last year he missed a lot of the year, but it was because he fouled a ball off his foot.
Right.
I mean, a triple-A assignment. You know, it breaks the foot and he's a speed guy. Like, that's just something that's hard to bounce back from. This year, you can take a look at the first injury, certainly wasn't because he was being overly aggressive in the field. The second injury might have been because he laid out for a ball. This one, he ran into a wall. You know, at some point, most of us get to the point where we don't go all out all the time.
Meat sauce!
Meat sauce!
Yeah, when am once I, when in am a while. I, when am I not going to get happy at that point?
What? Or never.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff is fun to do when you're 22, 23, 24, and he's only 25, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still kind of got that youth to him. But at some point, you get to the point where, you know, I can go 100%, 98% of the time and just pull up and not hit the wall quite as hard, or maybe not, or let this ball fall. And I wonder if, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying there is a way to play aggressively and yet still play smart. And I think that's maybe the next step for Buxton.
Is there a point, Aaron Gleeman of Gleeman and the Geek, the greatest podcast of all time, uh-huh. the only podcast that's ever been monetized, that they're going to go, man, we had the opportunity to trade him for Noah Syndergaard, and here he is right. a year from now on our bench again. Is there ever going to be a point where the Twins are going to regret not trading him for Noah Syndergaard?
I mean, maybe. I think the thing that, because that was, I think that was a Lavelle report at the time, right?
I think it was.
Yeah.
And so I think the report was that it was Buxton plus something for mm-hmm. Syndergaard. So we may never know what the plus something is. But the other thing is, that's one of those deals that if they had approached the Twins on, you know, December 1st and said, how about Buxton plus a prospect for Syndergaard? That's something I'm the biggest Buxton Bobo of all time.
Yeah.
But even I would go, all right, let me think about that. I mm-hmm. think that's a reasonable offer. But no team is ever going to trade, no contending team is ever going to trade their starting center fielder on July 31st, no matter if you're getting pitching, whatever, because you're just taking one step forward and one step back. The point of a contender in July is adding. And so for them to try to take Buxton, who at the time was healthy and was probably one of their three most valuable players, overall in the season, to trade, even if it's a fair trade at that time, that's a real difficult sell on a contending team in July. But, I mean, Syndergaard's great. They certainly, I guess, have a more need for pitching, although as we've seen with the defense, you take Buxton out of center field, and Kepler's okay in center field, but the corner guys struggle, and they don't have any standouts in the infield, and so the overall defense without Buxton, it just really struggles.
I'll let you guys explain this, because the call-ups are coming up this weekend. Was it September 1st?
Yep, September 1st.
And I think Twins fans are falling in love with the idea that Gratterall, his first name is?
Brusdar.
Brusdar is, what, 20 years old?
Yeah, just turned 21.
103 miles an hour. Brewster. Explain to fans about how playoff rosters are set, when they're set, and could potentially Gratterall be a part of that if he is effective when he comes up here and you see him using him in relief. And I'm speculating about all this, but it certainly seems that that's what they're on their path.
They used to have, like, more limited choices for teams adding guys to the playoff roster. You had to get a guy on the roster by a certain point. But then what happened was if you put a guy in the 60-day injured list, which was the disabled list, at the end of the season, you could replace him with anybody right. in your organization. And so you would see teams just put some random veteran, and then they just call up some guy from AA. And so they found so many loopholes that basically now the rule is, if he's in your organization by September
40-man roster,
and they just have to add him to the 40-man roster by, you know, August 31st at 11:59 p.m. And Gratterall's not on the 40-man roster yet because he's young enough that he didn't have to be on the 40-man mm-hmm. roster, but they could add him to the 40-man roster and not even call him up at that point.
But do you anticipate them calling him up?
I mean, I think so. I talked to Levine on Saturday. We did an event where I interviewed him, and that was one of my big questions. And I was like, you know, everyone in this room that is listening to us right now wants me to ask you about Gratterall, so I'm going to ask you. And he certainly didn't shy away from it. I mean, he basically said, we like the two relievers that we picked up at the deadline, but we also had, you know, some higher hopes. We aimed higher for pitching help. And every time we did, they would come back and say the same two or three prospects that they wanted in return.
One of them being Gratterall.
Right. And to the point that we said, well, instead of giving him up his whole career for a short-term fix, maybe he can be the short-term fix. With that said, he gave up a three-run homer last night.
Oh, did he really?
At AAA. And so
the bum.
He had gone eight innings without allowing a run, I think, since moving to the bullpen. But, yeah, he served up. And I looked up the guy he gave it up to because I was like, maybe it was somebody on a rehab assignment. Right. And it was some 26-year-old guy who had seven homers all year. So that takes a little bit of the steam out of it. But, I mean, if you put him in the bullpen and you just say you're throwing one inning at a time, he will clock in at 102, 103 with a very good plus slider. And I mean, just from a stuff perspective, he can be 20 or 21. And I still think in the sixth inning, he's a better option than like Tyler Duffy or whoever you have in there.
Very good.
102, 103. Yeah. All right. I got to go back to Buxton. Okay. Is he playing center field covering for right and left field?
I mean, he just covers.
He has. Is that why?
He just covers everything.
Is that why? Is that because he's not getting enough help and he's forced to make these plays and forced to do that, is does that have anything
I don't know
to
about
because like a number one D-man, if he's the number one D-man, he's forced to overplay and
yeah, it's not
and
so much
extend himself
because when he's
is
in
that
center,
why, or is it just the way he plays?
Kepler is in right when he's in center, and Kepler is a plus right fielder. I think he's mediocre as a center fielder, but that's true of a lot of right fielders. I don't think it's so much like they position him to cover a weakness for either Rosario or Kepler, because Rosario's still decent too in left field. I think it's more he's the fastest guy in baseball. He gets great jumps, and he has that Torii Hunter in him where he just does not care about himself. Yeah, he plays. Will. He if you told him you're gonna be out for a month if you catch this, he'll go, yeah, I'll catch it and I'll figure it out later. And that they have to get through to him. But just in terms of, and this is the last big argument Bonus and I had on the podcast, which is Bonus's whole thing, which he sort of said is, you got to get through to him that he can go 90% on this and still get it done. And my thing is,
hard to turn that off.
I don't. Right? Yeah, I don't know that you can do that. And you know, he obviously Buxton is an individual case. But yeah, I mean, he the reason he runs into the wall so much is because he doesn't care. But it's also he's literally going faster than anyone can go, and he's covering more ground. And so even if he were to try to stop, I mean, he's still slamming into it from 150.
He can't shut it off. Right?
Bonus, we'll ask you this, and then we'll switch topics. In the last segment, we'll play the greatest rebuttal to Andrew Luck's retirement I've ever heard. It's absolutely genius if you haven't heard it.
Okay.
A news anchor, basically the Mark Rosen of Dallas.
I know who you're talking about.
Has his thoughts on Andrew Luck. Okay. How do you judge, John Bonus, the trade deadline deals in Romo and Dyson so far?
Well, I mean, they did what they needed to do, right? They needed to have the top two priorities were a bullpen guy and a bullpen guy. And they ended up getting arguably probably the first and third best relievers traded in the trade deadline, right? You know, both of them have had a little bit, you know, Dyson obviously had a terrible first two outings, but he's been pretty reliable since. Romo has had one bad outing. He's been very reliable. I mean, this gives us the bullpen we wanted to have, a good seventh, eighth, ninth, so that when you are facing Giolito and protecting a two-run lead,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And
last night was a perfect example.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, there's also a little bit of mix and match to him. You know, that it's. I don't think we're always going to see, in fact, we have seen a couple times, it's not just Rogers gets the ninth, Romo gets the eighth, Dyson gets the seventh. You know, last night it was, we're bringing in Dyson in the sixth because we were, you know, facing some right-handers. And then we're going to slide Duffy in there in the seventh. If Duffy gets into trouble, we're going to let him face the last left-hander, and then we're going to bring in Romo because he's really good versus right-hander to get the last out of the seventh. And then we're going to, you know, they could kind of mix and match a little bit, and that, I think, gives them an additional strength to their bullpen that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have anticipated without having those guys in the available.
Gleeman, is this a playoff-winning bullpen?
Maybe. I mean, I think the unsaid part, Bonus is a very nice person. So that answer was him saying they did what they needed to do. But that's
so Minnesota.
I mean, we talked about it at the time. Is they got a C on the test. They passed the class.
Lucky.
But nobody's going to, you know, they're not going to be valedictorian or whatever. Yeah. Like, they didn't go one step beyond to add a guy. And
they meat sauced it.
Yeah, I mean, did you used to get C's? I feel
like
you
I graduated with like a 1.7.
I mean, you're talking to a college dropout, so I can't have no room
to make
fun.
What's wrong being a college dropout?
Yeah, what's wrong?
No, believe me. It worked well. I should have done it. I would have, if I had to do over again, I wouldn't have gone at all.
Same. Me as well.
But yeah, I mean, they checked every box that they absolutely had to check. Lucky. But whether it was a frontline starting pitcher or a one other bullpen arm, maybe a lefty to pair with Rogers to give you two lefties, they didn't go above and beyond that.
When we come back, we'll play the Andrew Luck audio. We got a lot of stuff to cover in the final segment of the Power Trip Morning Show. Sands, Corey Cove, and Chris Hockey, who are both out today. Corey will be back tomorrow, and then full show Friday, including Mark Parrish in the initials game on Friday. It's the Power Trip Morning Show final segment right here on The Fan.
FAN.
Heading out to Crooked Pint Ale House in Maplewood and hang out with the fans, Chris Hockey. Have a shot to win a pair of tickets and stick around for the NFL Thursday night season opener. All the details and info at KFAN.com. Keyword events.
Let the song play to the end, obviously.
Amen.
Dude, if there's one song that I have snot cried to, like open mouth snot cried, it's this song.
Snot cried.
Snot cried. Listen to it on your own. It's Black by Pearl Jam. Rosie, obviously, ranting and raving during the break about...
Yeah, we truly got him going.
We got Rosie going at 8:40 in the morning, and you have a great point. Well, I didn't think of it.
I don't know if it was ranting and raving. A big suggestion.
It sounds better.
Let's just ranting go with ranting and raving.
Passionate, buddy. Passionate.
I think it's important, since we're talking a lot of Twins baseball today, and we know just in, the Vikings open the regular season September 8th, Sunday afternoon, noon against Atlanta here. We know that place will be packed. It's also the third and final game of the series against the Cleveland Indians, the most really anticipated weekend series of the year because of, for obvious reasons.
In 10 years, really.
In about 10 years, yeah. You're right. But yeah, right. From a national perspective, the question is, the game is scheduled to start right now, I think, at 1:10, normally Sunday afternoon start. Vikings kick off at noon. The question I have, would the Twins think about moving the game to 3 o'clock? Can they do that? They have to get permission from Cleveland to do it. But more importantly, why isn't ESPN making that the Sunday night game of the weekend? If I see the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Dodgers, who are all running, I mean, the Yankees and Dodgers have already clinched their divisions. This is the best game of the weekend. And it should be on, but so since we're both in flyover land, apparently the nation doesn't care about the Twins and the Indians. So what? It's a better game, and it'd be incredible for this market to have Viking fans be able to, if not go to Target Field, at least be able to watch the game. And it's going to be an incredible Sunday here, a week from Sunday, with the Twins and the Indians and the Vikings kicking off against Atlanta. They should move that game to later in the afternoon or that night.
It's the only division race left, right, Bonus?
Well, St. Louis is...
Are you Bonus?
Yeah, but there's,
no.
But I wish.
There's another interesting race going on right now that just tightened up. Houston is half a game behind the Yankees for the best record in American League. And that is of some importance to the Twins. It depends whether or not you want to face the Yankees or the Astros, because I think the Twins, if they win the division, are going to end up as third place overall. They're going to end up playing the team that ends up losing that little race.
True, yeah.
But as Rosie knows, who lives down there, downtown is a mess. It's a mess with all the construction. And
it's
horrible. You're going to have 30,000 to 40,000 people on one end of town and 60,000 on the other.
Well, now that we monetized our podcast.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
I go to Bonus also.
You guys helicopter
just
here.
Moved downtown too. Uh-huh. And so we record it usually in his living room now, the midweek ones.
Fantastic.
And so I drive over there like twice a week, and literally the first 5 minutes of every show now is me just complaining about the traffic.
Yeah, I know, I listen.
Because people really love that. I'm sure it's fascinating.
Are you kidding me? This is Minneapolis. Nobody should complain about traffic. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, go to New York.
But it's not even the traffic. Go to L.A.
It's the torn up streets.
Go to Miami. No. No one here should ever. But it takes us an extra 20
minutes. Not all of us have been trained 15 times.
I zip it. We don't even know what. Most people here don't even understand what gridlock truly is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I've been in gridlock.
I mean, I
do you
don't
know what gridlock is, Sauce?
I think I've seen the film.
Yeah.
Good. Exactly. Yeah, good.
Trust
movie.
Me. No one in Minnesota should complain about traffic. Just plan for 20 extra minutes.
Right. Andrew Luck on Saturday night kind of shocked the NFL world by retiring. Kevin McDermott brought up the point that if you think that maybe Adam Schefter is the reason behind that this went way, it was supposed to be Sunday, he was going to have a press conference, but of course, Adam Schefter got a hold of it. It's nowhere near Adam Schefter's fault. It's the guy that leaked its fault because. Right. Adam Schefter is just doing his job, but it caused a giant Twitter controversy with all of it, with some of the stuff Doug Gottlieb said about him and everybody said about him. And trust me, a lot of it is just to get attention, and people have their opinions about it. Was, 29, he retired, the season ticket holders were upset,
right.
People booed him off. This is Dale Hansen, who works down in Dallas,
right.
And it's basically the Mark Rosen of Dallas.
No talking one about, is Mark Rosen.
Talking about his thoughts on Andrew Luck.
He didn't mean it in a good way, Mark.
Players like Devin Smith and Jameis Smith is why the reaction to Colts quarterback Andrew Luck's decision to retire is so incredibly stupid. Luck has a long list of injuries from playing this game, a concussion, a lacerated kidney, torn cartilage in the shoulder that kept him out a year, rib and ankle injuries, too. So he decides to walk away while he still can. And fans at the Colts game Saturday night actually booed him as he walked off the field. How stupid do you have to be? How bad does your life have to be that you think booing Andrew Luck or even criticizing him, as some guy on Fox did, is somehow the right response? Some people are just too stupid to breathe the same air that we breathe, and a lot of them live in Indiana. But a lot of them go to football games everywhere, too. Football fans who will cheer the player who beats up a woman, drives drunk and kills people, cheer the player who uses illegal drugs, and will cheer the player who cheats to win, boo a 29-year-old man who has been in constant pain for 4 years because he chooses his life over money. I might be as stupid as so many of you tell me I am, but I have never been that stupid.
And as Corey Cove always talks about, anytime he does it, when somebody gets in trouble, he reads an opposite headline and then says what they actually do. He talked about how people booed the guy Tariq Hill. They didn't.
Right.
They gave Tariq Hill a standing ovation, and we all know what he allegedly did or didn't do in his offseason. And Andrew Luck, who's brought that city a ton of joy, was booed off the field.
Here's what I'll say about just that aspect of it. And he's right about people cheering. You know, we had the same situation in a different way with Adrian Peterson after the switch and his kid. And we've had other situations. I think if you were to poll those fans who booed him, and it wasn't the vast majority. There was booing. They'd probably feel pretty guilty about it the next day. I think the timing of it, the context of hearing this news while Andrew Luck's on the sidelines, was such a lightning bolt to them that they're going, well, you can't leave. You are my entertainment for this year. You can't leave me. They're not thinking about Andrew Luck, the person, the father, the husband.
No.
They're thinking about Andrew Luck, their fantasy football quarterback, and a passionate guy who's the face of the Colts franchise. So at that particular time, had they found out about it 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, had been able to make the announcement that Sunday, they probably would have welcomed them back with open arms. But I think the emotional part of it, those fans got carried away. I mean, yeah, they sound idiotic in hindsight, and they probably sound idiotic at the time. At the same time, their emotion was just boiling up, I think, and that was their natural reaction. Like, I don't like this.
Parrish, how do you think his teammates feel?
I bet they probably feel pretty awful. The thing that irritates me most about this is that had to have come from the organization. That had to have come from the inside.
Somebody
from the inside. So he probably wanted to, I'm guessing his plan.
He was going
to
do it Sunday.
So he's trying to be as professional as he can be, and he led his organization like, look, I'm going to let the public know Sunday. I want to have a press conference Sunday, but tonight, let me tell the guys after the game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I guarantee you that's, in his head, that's how he played this out. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. We all know we have a window. We all know we have a shelf life, and we don't know when that's going to happen. For me, it was the same thing. It was just being prepared, getting ready. Can I do enough work in the off season to be prepared for this season coming up?
I'd almost suggest it's almost even more nefarious than that, though. Too, like, if there's people in that organization who really feel screwed by him,
thank you.
Retiring,
right.
Yeah.
This is a
way to apply a little bit of pressure. Say, you sure you want to do this?
Which is wrong.
And said bonus. Yeah, this is
no. You're right.
People could lose jobs over this.
Like
coaches,
I hate to bring this up, but because I love the guy and I have nothing but respect for him. But like Wes Walls, when he retired during the season, that's like one of us getting mad at him as his team. Like when he realized, like, hey, look, sorry, he gave us plenty of a notice. He was open and honest with us as a team. Nobody leaked anything. Like we supported him as a human being because he was our teammate, not because of what he did or could have done or whatever on the ice. And somebody turned their back on him. Somebody took that trust.
Selfish.
That pisses me off. Because someone in that organization, whether it was a player, whether it was somebody in the front office, somebody went behind his back and threw him under the bus, and that's not right.
Well, do you guys remember when Vontae Davis retired at halftime?
Yeah.
He left at halftime. Right. He was like,
Never know when it's going to hit you.
Right.
You just can't. You can't control it, and you just know. And when it's over. And that's the thing is that most people don't understand is that that's an unselfish act. Like, he could have held on. He could have just gone out there and gone through the motions and made how much
and made the Colts somewhat of a contender. Maybe would have gotten to the playoffs. Maybe would have had a chance of the Super Bowl, but would never have gotten that far.
What's the thing we always hear, Mark Parrish, in football and any sport, and Rosie's seen this and been a part of it and heard it. Last couple of games of the year, if you're not a playoff team, your one goal is not to get hurt because, I mean, they get paid a lot. You want to go to your vacation home in Miami. You want to go on that vacation that your wife, the second she found out you weren't going to be in the playoffs, planned your, you know, 2-week vacation to, you know, Barbados or wherever you're going. You can't do that with a broken leg. You can't do that with a broken arm. You have to rehab. So eventually it just goes, man, I got to be here in Indianapolis. I've been to Indiana. But you're going, I don't want to be here in February rehabbing this knee injury for 6 months while all of my teammates are playing golf or doing
family.
This.
Family. You want to see your mom. You want to see your dad. Correct. You want to see all that. There's two lives of a professional athlete. There is the professional athlete. There's the Andrew Luck that we see, the quarterback that prepares to be a quarterback and an all-star and an NFL all-pro, whatever it is. And then there's Andrew Luck, who's just a person.
Yeah.
And at some point, those get very, very, very blurred.
If you are.
And you have to make a decision to, like, which one do you want to be? And I commend him. I love the fact that he put himself and his family in front of what everybody expects.
But in this 24/7 world we live in, right, of social media, fantasy football, everything is about, even in the media, we don't talk about them as people. We don't that's not our jobs. We talk about them as athletes. End of story. Oh, there
Jack
it is.
Everson. That's it.
We made it. Healthy Fest. Healthy Fest, here I come.
Thank you to everybody. The Twins won. You're at the fair. Win, Rosie.
I'm there this afternoon to get with Common at 2 o'clock. And you're going to be there today.
I'm there the hour before you. Gleeman, okay. Where can we find your podcast?
Gleeman, thegeek.com, where I'm at the fair with PA 11 o'clock Friday.
Bonus, what do you got today?
Twins Daily. Check out all kinds of Twins news on Twins Daily, or stop by and check out our midweek podcast, which we're going to record right after this, patreon.com/Gleeman.
So, hang on, Jack. Everson, hang on. Thank you so much for helping me land this boat safely and not having PA and Nordo start at 7:45 live from the fair. They're next. I got a ton of guests. It's going to be a great afternoon and morning on The Fan. Thank you very much. Corey and I will be back tomorrow. Full show Friday. Bye.
Today's Power Trip Morning Show, or to hear previous shows, podcast us on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.